This week's episode of Heavy Meta is exclusively brought to you by Face to Face Toronto.
No. Ladies and gentlemen.
Welcome to Heavy Meta, your source for magic news, entertainment, and comedy.
Hey, you lovely, lovely little whores, I'm Heavy Metal.
And I'm Spontaneous Maddie Studios.
And for some reason, you're listening to Heavy Metal. Like a Latina woman.
Like a Latina woman. 2:25 a.m. We're biting Jay Bush as we speak.
This is actually, that's totally Jay's fault. I didn't listen to that fucking, that
Goyle.
I didn't watch that Goyle's video until today. Like, I somehow missed it.
So you didn't get a single joke that entire weekend?
No, he kept right here, like a Latina woman. And I was like, that's kind of funny, but I have no idea what you're talking about. And I finally fucking watched it this morning, and I've seen it like 12 fucking times today.
I mean, hey, Jay brings the shit. He brought it, and it is the thing of Portland. It is cool. But we're trying a new thing this week, to spice things up.
To just not give a shit at all. That's why we got back before.
No. Normally, a lot of people don't understand the amount of prep time that goes into an episode of Heavy Meta. I can't even say that with this straight.
It's tens of minutes someday.
There are literally tens of minutes.
No, seriously. Normally, there's at least some pre-ramble, but I've decided from now on, as soon as Skype connects, I'm just like, go. So that's what we're doing. Tonight, we have Jack LaCroix on, folks. Do you know why? Because... because Trigger.
Yes, because Trigger.
God, guys, don't do that! Jesus! You have to have warnings at the start of the podcast, so I am mentally and spiritually prepared to handle what you are going to throw at me.
No, there's no warnings. We're like the riot police.
Words heavy meta. The title heavy meta should just be recognized internationally as a trigger.
Yeah.
Trigger has to. Yeah. Heavy meta stands for fat shaming. Clearly, is that why you brought me on? Is that why?
Jay, this is Jay. Oh my god! I just said Jay. Jack, this is an intervention. for how much butter you've been consuming? No. Not that that's a real thing.
Well, I am in the South, to be fair. We fucking deep fry everything around here, even if it has four legs and is still moving when you put it in the pot.
Deep fry sticks of butter and fucking go to town?
Yes. Yes. Have you never had deep fried butter?
I've actually had that, and it was the most disgusting thing I've ever had. No offense to the cookie, but wow.
Do you know how I know Kevy has never had deep fried butter? Because he weighs 98 pounds wet. Yeah.
This is so true.
Yeah. So tonight, folks, we have got a jam-packed show. We've got Cons of Truck here, or Tark here, or whatever the fuck that damn set's called. We've got...
And he'll finally figure it out when it rotates out.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just getting Theros down now. We've got that. We've got all kinds of good news to talk about. But tonight, we decided to bring Jack on because it's been too long.
It's been forever.
Yeah. It's been one of those things.
I don't know, because, I trust you guys, and you're my friends, but whenever you guys send up the bat signal for heavy meta, I always know some serious shit has had to go down, and you're having to bring in the heavy fire of entertainment. Or the well has genuinely run dry, and you're looking at the list, and you're like, there's a GP this week, and we're going to talk about that, horrific things going on in the community. Who do we have for that? Is that fat fuck North Carolina doing anything? We'll grab him.
No, you know the heavy metal well is run dry when I tweet shit like, let's play podcast roulette and just grab three fucking random, professional magic players and ask them if they feel like coming on heavy meta tonight.
Yeah, unfortunately, never. This is sorry to interrupt you, but this is a tip for all the young podcasters out there. When one of your co-hosts is like, hey man, who do we got on? You don't just go straight to live Twitter and say, I got this, and you just start live firing shit out there.
No, I decided, I was like, you know what, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it right. So I asked Conley Woods, Patrick Chapin, and Todd Anderson to come on. I never heard back from Anderson, But Conley said, you know, he might be helping a friend, and he'd let us know. So he was a maybe. And then Pat Chapin just flat out was just like, I cannot. That was it. He's just like, I cannot.
Well, dude, so, you weren't Holton. That's why I didn't want to come on.
I know. It's bullshit.
We don't need the pro tour here to make heavy meta good. That's
oh, could you imagine how much fun it would be if we convinced it would be. Chapin to come on and then acted like
no.
us?
No. You don't want Chapin on. You want Conley Woods on.
Oh, we've had Conley's cool.
Conley's fucking awesome. I love that man.
Yes, he is a great man.
I actually hope one day that Strong Side will come on, because I have a feeling that we're gonna get along like gangbusters.
Yeah, that motherfucker's an alcoholic.
Who cares? But who cares about those people? They're not on the show, so we should
not here now.
Being rude.
Jack McFly is.
Now, so let's start off the show, Jack. We have got big magic news.
Do we?
Apparently,
I mean. Please tell me this magic news, because we were struggling for any kind of fucking news items Monday for Monday Night Magic. And it was really pathetic, because, like, normally we have this guy called Will Blanks who does our show notes, and Will is, like, the Spider-Man of, like, show production, and we've never given him the credit that we should, but he just comes all up in it, and he's like, oh, spiderweb! And then our show notes are filled, right? Like, he must have had, like, an off week, or, you know, he had a headache, and he had to say no, dear, or something like that. Because there was nothing in the show notes, and we were all lazy fucks and didn't want to fill them out. So, what is this mystical, magical news?
Real quick, though, for the listeners at home, because that's who this question's for, what are show notes?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, fuck if I know.
Yes, you professional podcasters.
I mean, the only person that's ever come on the show that's actually done good show notes is TSG.
Dude, TSG's rad. That motherfucker will email us the night before. He's professional as shit. And I think every single week that he does come on our show, he's like, this is going to be the week where things are going to change. And he'll email us show notes, like these well thought out, elaborate show notes. And then we come on and just make a bunch of foul fart jokes and fucking drink a lot and don't really let him get a word in edgewise. And then the show's over. And then, like, the next time he's like, this week, it's going to be different.
Hey, I love people that have dreams.
Yes, exactly.
That's part of it. But seriously, so the big news is Marshall Sutcliffe has broken Limited with his brand new theory. It's called Quadrant Theory, that he attributes to his co-host. But he has this, and I read the article on the Mothership today, and I was just literally jaw-struck. So there are four buckets to this quandary theory of Limited: opening and developing, parity, winning, and losing. I know. Let that sink in for everyone who has never played Magic before. So
they're listening to our cast.
Yeah, I literally read this article, and I love Marshall to death. I think he's awesome. But wow, like, you just broke down how to draw cards, how to play the game, how to win, and how to lose. That's what Limited Magic is? I thought that was what all Magic was. Interesting article. It went really deep, but I was just like, wow. Have we really hit the well so hard that there's, like, this is the shooting blanks that's left?
So, wait a minute. Okay, like, let me get this right then.
Yes.
Marshall, and I have respect for Marshall before anybody thinks otherwise. Yeah. He took the KISS method and just relabeled it. Is that what we're looking at here?
Apparently it's called quandary theory. So get that quadrant theory. It's really silly. I don't know what this article is supposed to do. I mean, I guess it's, you know, teaching people who've never played Magic before. I don't. Very bizarre. But, I agree with you, Jack. This has been a very bad week. For stuff.
For things.
This is why.
Oh my god, it's been terrible.
It really has. Unfortunately, we did have some spoilers. I don't even know if they're really spoilers. I guess it's just, Wizards trying to tease us with cons. We did get Trilands. Hey folks, we got Trilands. I called that, like, I don't know, as soon as I heard that this was gonna be a wedge set. Or, what, it's not a wedge set, it's the shard set, wedge, I don't know, whatever the fuck it is. We got Trilands that entered a battlefield tap, pretty boring. They are in common.
They are native tribal people. Maddie, use your triggers, goddammit. Get it right.
Hands up, don't shoot.
I mean, I get it. I'm cool with this. I always expected that we're gonna get these, you know, coming to Battlefield Tap Drylands. I think they're cool. They're probably gonna make my cube. But I think not very many people are talking about that they're uncommon, which still leaves open a rare slot for lands, which a few people are like, we're getting onslaught fetches, and I just don't see it. I don't think they make any sense with the block.
Yeah. It's
filter lands, though, kind of do. They kind of do. So I don't know. Maybe what I hope, in all honesty, enough with reprinting those lands.
Because my brain is not functioning right now.
Sweet.
Are these the ones we already got, or are these the other colors?
No.
They're tribe-appropriate colored ones. And I could kind of see the filter lands because it's been long enough, and they have sort of kind of generic names that might actually fit. But friggin' fetches, they would be really, really cool, especially since WotC seems to kind of like modern when they're not beating it like a redheaded stepchild.
Yeah, no shit. But like, we don't like you today. Oh, today we love you.
Yeah, but to me, like, for them to bring back fetches, it's almost going to have to take a block kind of like Zendikar, where there is a real reason for them to exist, like a mechanic or something.
Landfall and fetches just were a match made in heaven. So I don't see how you print fetch lands without some type of landfall mechanic and make it worth limited.
Yeah, and, like, don't we already have some kind of, like, granted that we're going to have the tap lands and the pain lands and mana confluence, we've already got, like, ridiculous mana fixing, okay? We don't need to add fetches to the mix. And the other thing there is, there has been a rumor, Matty, that Delve is going to be one of the returning mechanics for one of the tribes, because allegedly they use alternative resources. So that would make using things in the graveyard actually more promising, which could be a slight argument towards fetches. But with that said, I mean, everybody keeps crying for the fetches. I don't see it.
Yeah, I've had Portland was a very eye-opening experience, and not from some of the things people say.
Yeah, I'm sure.
your eyes were closed. There was a lot of discussion about, like, the future of the game. I know Marcel, TSG, a few other people, my brothers from Down Under. We all were talking about, like, what's going to happen, where are they doing it, and of course we're all talking about Modern Masters 2. A lot of people have a lot of really interesting theories, a lot of buzz going around. I'm not going to get into all the rumors, but it sure as hell feels like it's coming. If you're going to print fetches, I mean, fetches don't fit in the current standard set. You throw them in Modern Masters and you're like, okay, guys, we did it. You throw a Lily in there and it's a fucking smash hit. Like, I really feel like fetches are going to come in Modern Masters. They're not going to be in a standard set. It goes with how Wizards thinks, right? They want to reprint them, but they don't want to overprint them. I still think they're gun shy, even though, you know, they claim to be reprinting things. I still think that's what they're going to do. So we'll see. I'm just saying, for all the SVU, you know, you guys keep asking us, you're like, what's going on? When's the event? And I don't have answers for you because things are changing every goddamn week.
Because Wizards don't give us answers.
Right. We cannot commit to anything until we know those mystery dates. When we know where they are and what's going on, then I will confirm. Me and Marcel and a few of the other key architects of this have already, look, as soon as we know, the day Helen says, this is it, we'll tell you the next week, like the next show, we will just tell you what we're doing. Because we have all the plans, we know what we want to do, we just don't know where the dial's going. And we don't want to pick the wrong one if we have another option. So I have a feeling, you know, Las Vegas, Modern Masters, it worked the last time, you know, like that's what I feel. You know, if they ever did is something as crazy as throw it on the strip. Oh my God!
Oh,
like,
we
talked
about
that. No, you would.
Wizards spilling onto the street and fucking.
I mean,
now that I'm thinking about it, that would be the most horrible like way to introduce my wife to this community.
Yes.
Like I finally talked her into going to an event. By the way,
do not.
Like, yeah, but not no.
Actually,
I love
you know what?
She needs to never meet you guys.
Okay, you know what? A lot of bad press has gone around, and I will say this. You know, the Heavy Man SVU are some of the best honest, genuine brothers I've ever met in my life. These guys are amazing.
Oh, yeah.
So, absolutely. Like, but like yeah. with anything, you have a few bad eggs, like me.
No, I see. That's where I disagree. I think that a lot of times we were on a gigantic up curve of outdoing ourselves, you know. and I think there was just a little bit of that underlining for a few people, like that's like, hey, let's just take it to that fucking next level. And now we know that level. So I think if you're gonna have your wives come to events, which is something I was speaking with a few people about this, like the next modern event, do you bring your wives? And like. That's a whole topic we can kind of get into, but for me, like, my wife is like, you love magic. That's amazing. And she's like, go enjoy your magic and come home and tell me stories. But if I said, do you want to come to one of the events? She'd be like, great, but I don't play magic like you play magic, so what am I going to do? And I'm like, well, that's a good question. So I would hate
going to the if the wives do go to the 2015 SVU event, we have to call it Thunderdome SVU 2015 just to scare the shit out of them.
I mean the thing is, I look at it as, yeah, there's not much, like, because I feel like if I have to, because I would want to, if she's there, I want to spend time with my wife, right? Yes. That's precisely why I brought her. So I wouldn't play any magic. Like, and then I would feel like, well, then why did I do that? I would have just gone on a vacation with my wife. So it's weird. It's a bizarre thing where I think a few people, and maybe not a few people, but maybe it's just a quandary most, you know, you get married, you have kids, and you still want to have magic involved in your life. And you're like, can I have it invade all aspects of my life and it work? No, and I don't think you
just
can.
Put it
like
on the side, like a mistress, dude.
Yeah, you can. Like, and, yeah, hey, yeah
and
you
actually,
can.
Actually, magic. Like, if you're not a horrible fucking person, magic becomes your mistress. Like, in all seriousness, because you know, you go away on the weekend, you're gone for a while, you don't make phone calls, you spend a disproportionate amount of money for the enjoyment you get out of it, and then you come home bleary-eyed, hungover. And your wife's like, well, did you have a good time? Yeah. Yeah, it was just me and the guys, you know. I'm going to bed, babe. Love you.
Sadly, that analogy has been talked to me many times. She's just like, it's very interesting. And it was funny because she's like, what do you guys do all this time? Like, we literally just play cards. She's like, I don't believe it. I'm like, I'm not kidding. It's so queer. Dude, we are so just nerds. Like, it's nerd talk. Yeah. You know, like, Cube and me is just like, you're like, really? Yeah. Just order BW, you know, have Corbin order fucking Wild Wings, and we'll just get sick. We'll be shitting our pants. We'll be playing Cube. And that's like, it's this bizarre thing. But like, going back to it, it's funny that I had a conversation with a good friend of mine, and we were talking about how magic invades your life and how far everyone, is willing to like, let that proceed, right? Like, with children, I think with children, it's funny because as men, I'm still a kid. I mean, I really am. I'm a fucking kid. Like, I watch cartoons.
You're like 8-year-old.
Yeah, well, I am. I never have grown up. And actually, my wife loves that. She's like, I love that you can, like, I can sit down with a 4-year-old and get down with toys and start playing and they'd love it, right? To me, it's, what's the big deal, right? And other people are like, look at that pedophile trying to, like, seduce those children.
Is that not the weirdest part? Like, after you have a kid, like, people treating you differently around other children if they don't know you're a dad?
Dude, like, yes, 100%.
No, I was in the fucking grocery store the other day, okay? Like, no, I have to tell this story because it weirded me the fuck out, and I felt fucking terrible. And I was behind this woman and her kid, and there was a little 2-year-old boy, and he was a chubby, cute little dude, right? And he looked up at me, and he just smiled and waved at me. And I waved back at him, and his mom noticed that I was doing this, and she flipped the fuck out and, like, went 3 cash registers over. I blame
but
the
then
next
again,
year. Like,
you
I
look
actually
like you do, Jack. You look like a pedophile. I've seen your Twitter pictures.
That's nothing. So
if you came up to me in a grocery store, and you're all, what's up, dude? Kevy, it's Jack. It's Jack LaCroix. How the fuck are you? Why are you in this town? And I'd be like, Brody, come on. We need to go down here. I love you, Jack.
One of the funniest stories. One of the funniest things. I guess it's probably not funny. It's horribly embarrassing. But one of the funniest things ever was a couple of weeks ago, my eldest daughter, Ella, she had to go to a birthday party. And it's Saturday morning. And the wife's like, we haven't gotten this kid a present. I'm like, are you kidding me? When is this party? She's like, at 10:30. I'm like, what time does Toys R Us open? 10 o'clock. I'm like, oh my God. So I like take Ella. I'm like, let's go. We get in the car. We drive down, you know, Toys R Us. And so like a typical like 8-year-old looking in the Barbie aisle, whatever, all these things and just taking her time. I'm like, Ella, we don't have time for this. She's like, hold on, Dad. I just got to get her the right thing. I got to know. I'm like, okay, fine. So as she's doing that, I like wander over to like the other side of the aisle, all the boy toys, because I used to work at Toys R Us, so I'm always fascinated to see what's that. I don't know. I'm looking down the aisle. Yeah, I'm like, oh, look, Ninja Turtle toys. That's cool. And I see this little kid, probably about, I don't know, 6 years old, and he's looking at one of the Ninja Turtles, right? And he's like, he's looking at it. And I'm watching him. I find it hilarious, right? Because he's like, I don't know which one I want. And he picks up Michelangelo, and I think he had Donatello or something. Anyway, so I get down on my, I'm like, I crouch down. I'm like, oh, man, I remember that guy. He was so cool. Like, when I was a kid, Donatello, like, he'd fix machines and that. And the kid literally turns super slow motion in my direction. And he looks at me, and he gives, and then he turns away back to the shelf and then turns to look the other way for his parents. Like, help me. There's a, yeah, total shit, right? And I'm like, and so I'm a touchy person and I didn't mean to, but I'm like,
oh,
hey,
Maddie, no, no, dude, no, you I never touch the kid in public.
No. No.
Parents can see you. That's why you have the van. Jesus Christ.
No. So I could tell like he was like gonna cry. Like he was like, oh, he thinks like he's alone. And so I just put my hand on his shoulder. I'm like, hey, what's the matter? Buddy, and as soon as I did that, his fucking dad comes right around the corner and sees a grown man like holding a Ninja Turtle doll in front of his face, holding his son, and he's like, "What's the matter, son?" He's like, "No," and he just doesn't want to talk. And I'm like, "Hey, man, I was just a typical pedophile move, right? Hands up, hey, man. All I did
was
like
over here.
Yeah,
I
just
was over here, and I came from the opposite direction."
He's like, "Why are you wearing track pants?" I'm like, "I don't know, like." Okay. Yeah, so it was so funny.
Maddie's wearing his breakaway track pants and the Rules of the Universe t-shirt. Yeah. And just looks like the biggest pedophile ever.
That I am not a pedophile. Oh. See, here's the birth certificate. She's actually mine, I promise.
It was so funny because then my daughter Ella runs over to me. She's like, okay, Dad, I found it. And I'm like,
Thank God.
No, but it was funny because I'm like, hey, Ella, thanks, daughter of mine. That's why I'm here. And I was like totally like overacting as we walked out. It was so funny. But that's like the one of the things, like, I find
yell like it just instantly be like, I swear I'm not trying to touch your kid.
No, that as soon as you say that, you're oh yeah. Then the bells go off and the sirens go down. But it's funny because as you get older, I find you can introduce magic to like your kids very easily. It's a game, it's cool, it's educational. But then like I'm already finding that there's like your mate really is either, you know, they're totally supportive of you, but it's like, do you want to come play magic with me? Is like this bizarre, I don't know what it is, but either it works or it doesn't. I know a few couples that they do and they can do that and it's sweet, but sometimes it's just like, it's better you do this and tell me stories about it versus me trying to come be dragged into this world, like, and that's like we said, Jack, like, do I really want to drag someone into this and see if they swim or sink, you know, like,
right.
It's an all or nothing. Once you're there, there's no getting out. Like, this is it, hon. This is what we do. And there's no going back from there. So I find that, if there is an event and wives are brought, I don't know, guys. I hope you have a back.
Hand them your wallet and point in the direction of the mall like I'm going to. Like, no, seriously, because I found out GP Charlotte is going on next year, and, like, unless something is in North Carolina, I usually can't make it because my passel of nerds all gear up into a single car, you know, 16 people in a family minivan. Don't ask why we have a minivan. It has something to do with going to Toys R Us. But so we all, like, passel up and go to Charlotte, and I've been talking with her, and I'm like, hey, you know, babe, a lot of my friends are going to be there, and I would like to introduce you to them. And immediately she was like, cool, where are we going to dinner? And I was like, oh, well, don't you maybe want to come hang out at the event and just say hey to people? And she's like, there's a mall in Charlotte. And I was like, yes. Yeah, see, I realized something. If you give them the money and you just send them away, then you get your time later with them, either, and you can still hang out with your friends by going to dinner. So it's a win-win. You have to think of it like that.
I agree. Cool. Like, dinner is, that's easy, right? Like, cause then it's like, hey,
oh, yeah.
Couples night out. But I find like, yeah, when it's like, it's not dinner and it's like, hey, it's like 11 o'clock in the morning and, we're going to go like hang out at the GP Portland house. Yeah. That would have been like, you're divorced. Like, no. That's,
yeah.
It only gets worse from here, hon. Every hour it gets more decrepit.
Yeah, it's just gonna get worse.
I will say something on Grand Prix Portland, though.
Yes.
Before we move on.
I love it.
It was funny as hell. It was like watching a Dateline NBC, like, live feed of the shit that was going on that weekend. Because, like, all of a sudden, like, I could tell when you guys woke up, and there'd be a couple of pictures, and then, like, random quotes from people, but like the night before you guys were supposed to leave, it was absolute fucking silence from everyone.
Yeah, and it was funny. Yeah.
Yeah. And around like 12 o'clock the next morning, I see Slick and he's like, well, I hope we're all still friends. And I was like, fuck, did you guys run over a hobo or something? Like, did you have to make a suicide pact? Like, what the fuck happened? And you know what's great? I still haven't gotten the whole goddamn story. Like, I've had to listen to three separate podcasts just to hear everything that happened.
You know, we all made a pact. Listen, we all made a pact. I think some of us made the pact Sunday night because they had to get out of Dodge so early in the morning. But we all made a pact. It's like, look, like, we're all going to tell what we can. But it's a tale too large for any one cast. It's,
well, there's also, you know, there's also things that just, you know, don't need to be told.
That's true, yeah.
And what happens, though, is then you've got three different casts with fucking all these different hosts that are like, all right, I could tell this story that involves some of these other people. And should I go too far and should I really bring them into it? Or should I just like, yeah, I'll let this one slide because I don't want to piss off the people that were involved in this story. And then the next cast does the same thing. So there's like, there's huge gaping holes in the GP story.
Is.
Because
it,
all of us were like, well,
I don't want to be the one to go there. You know, Jack is right though. Cause I remember Monday morning, I woke up, checked Twitter. I'm like, wow, it's shockingly silent today.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's interesting.
Monday, all of us were like, you know what? I just have to be able to survive this weekend, let alone let Twitter know what happened.
Yeah, and fucking Monday morning, after I saw that from Slick, the next thing I saw was from Desperate Ravings, and he's just like, oh, the homeowners are being so unreasonable. And all I could think about is that movie Project X, where the kid, like, burns his fucking house to the ground.
I will say this. The funniest, I hope this doesn't increment anyone, but Marcel had gone that morning. I hope it doesn't increment. You know, if it does, I'm sorry, but this is, it's a very vague tale. A friend of mine had gone to see a person who had rented a home in a weekend some year in a city on the West Coast. How about that? He'd gone to give the keys back to the homeowners. And that morning, because we all came over to like help clean up and everything, and I remember I made the comment, I'm like, how clean do we got to keep this? And he's like, a maid is coming, like as clean as it needs to be for a maid. So we were like, oh, okay, so pick up the junk and flush the cocaine down the toilets and shit, and mm-hmm. we should be fine, right? But you know, it was still messy and shit, so I was like, are you sure this is gonna be like, yeah, don't worry. And so my friend had to go drop the keys mm-hmm. off, and the lady and the husband just literally unloaded on him for like 15 minutes straight. And they're just like, everything, they're like, why is the fridge full of meat? And he's like, it's free meat. And beer. She's like, I don't want this fucking beer and meat. He's like, I'm giving you like $100 of free meat and beer and you don't want it? We don't want this shit. So,
oh my God.
That was the best. And then they picked up a towel. The best was, we laughed about this all during brunch. She picks up a towel off the floor and she points to a stain on the towel. She's like, what is this? What is this?
It's blood off the free meat I'm giving you.
No, because it was a bathroom towel. And she's like, it better not be what I think it is. You do not wipe your ass with my towels. It was just so funny to just see, like, it was literally like, I guess, Revenge of the Nerds, you know, like the house is destroyed kind of like thing, and the homeowners are just like,
I hope whoever made that stain is seeing their urologist and it's not terminal.
You do not make this stain on my towels. Anyways, no. we're gonna move on from Portland because that's the past and the future as everyone snorts.
Oh, love you boys.
I did want to touch on a few things, which I thought were really cool, because we did get two mechanics. Actually, I guess we have three mechanics spoiled for cons, and I wanted to quickly talk on those, because I think they're kind of interesting. I know Patrick Chapin wrote an article about what he thinks of them, and that would be, we have the Jeskai mechanic, which is prowess.
Prowess, yeah.
Which looks like it's whenever you cast a non-creature spell, I don't know, it gives you an ability. So we've got the Elder who gets +1/+1. So that's kind of cool. Whenever it deals combat damage to a player, you may draw a card if you do discard a card. Looting effects kind of thing. It sounds neat. Yeah. I mean, prowess sounds like you're basically building blue, white, red, decks that already exist now with a ton of spells, and you know, maybe you drop your early drops and they get bigger as you go, etc. Now, what's really cool about that is, Wizards loves to tease variations of the upcoming mechanics in the core set. So I'm building my cube, and I'll talk a little bit about where I'm at with that a bit later. But The card that I played with at the pre-release, and I played with online, and I've been brewing with, is Chasm Stalker. And that is the M15 card. It's almost like a blue. It's such a bizarre card. I don't really know any card like it. But it gets +1/+1 for every card you draw. And then if it dies, boom, it makes a bunch of squids. So.
Oh, yeah.
It's very similar to kind of like prowess in that, hey, it's getting +1/+1 for cards you draw instead of like spells you cast. But my god, is that card absurdly powerful. So I was playing in a blue-white control deck, and I was playing Scotty, actually. We were testing for standard, and he swings into me, and he's like, okay, swing it in. And I'm like, okay, well, I'll cast Opportunity, and my dude's a 5/5. Like, what? Like, that card is crazy. Oh, yeah. So I think I honestly believe that there's probably some modern ability with that card, maybe Snapcaster Delver, kind of with that thing, and you just play counter spells, and you just, it's just a secondary win condition. It's almost like a blue Tarmogoyf, right? Like,
right,
and,
right, I get you.
And if you wipe the board, you don't lose anything, because now you've just got 5/1s. So I find that just incredibly versatile. I think that card is broken beyond all belief, so that's my goal, is to try and fuck with that card. But
Chasm Stalker.
I think it's a good card, man. I think it's sweet. It is 3 mana, so maybe it's slow, but I don't know. I think you can come back with it. But the other card I wanted to talk about, because, you know, why would I let you guys have a comment on something? Because I'll let you comment in a second, is we got the other one, which is for the, I can't remember the name of the clan. Jack, do you know? The raid mechanic?
The Heart Piercer?
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, it's something Heart Piercer, and it has the name of the clan, so...
Mardu! It's Mardu! It's Mardu Heart Piercer.
There we go.
Aha! So, Raid is...
I haven't seen that one yet.
Yeah, Raid...
Oh, yeah, I have. There it is.
Yeah, it's a 4-mana 2/3 with Raid. And essentially, it's when it enters the battlefield, if you attack with a creature this turn, it does an ability. So this one deals 2 damage to target creature or player.
Yeah,
now,
like
this sounds very familiar to, Bloodthirst. You know, because you'd always want to get the damage in, and then you'd trigger your Bloodthirst guy on second main. So, very, very similar. It's a very simple mechanic. I know Jeebus and a couple of other people tweeted that, hey, these mechanics are kind of dumbed down a bit because so much is going on in this block.
Oh, Jeebus bitches about everything there. Mostly everything.
I can't believe I'm actually going to go on record and say this, but I actually agree with him. I think that makes a lot of sense. So, I don't know, where was Crazy Jeebus on this? He actually was sounding logical that probably makes a lot of sense that we're going to get much simpler mechanics. We do have Morph, which, I mean, Morph is going to make things incredibly complex, and I don't believe Morph is assigned with a clan, right? It's just a generic mechanic, I believe? Yeah. So, I mean, Jesus Christ, that 1,000 wins card, I can already see, if you think about what that card does in modern and the ability to blink it, wow, man, when it's turned face up, return all other attack creatures to their owner's hands. Like, wow. And you only morph it for three. So turn three, you throw that down, you wait for your opponent to swing in for the win, Resto Angel, Flicker Wisps, anything. And dude, your opponent's board is just gone. Like, it sounds powerful. I think this card's actually going to be very playable in Standard if we get blink effects, which they probably will not give us, because that probably blows Morph large, right? But interesting. I think these are cool so far. I'm happy. I think it's interesting. What do you guys think?
I like the radio.
I actually really like the Mardu Heart Piercer. I think that's going to give a lot of versatility to the aggro decks that are in Standard right now, specifically Red, White, and Mono Red, because what it's going to enable them to do is save their burn spells for the end games, because you can play this guy, deal with the board, swing, yada, yada, yada. Essentially, I think like Mardu Heart Piercer is going to be more of a 2-for-1, and if the raid mechanic plays out along similar lines where, you know, it makes it where creatures can't block, deals them damage, gives them some kind of neg one thing, I think Raid is actually going to be incredibly powerful. And Mardu Heart Piercer specifically is going to see tons of play.
You know what I really love? That Raid? I love that Raid and Prowess are like opposites. So Prowess is giving you guys buffs, and Raid is, like, obviously they picked these two cards for a reason, to show that they're opposites. But it's very cool that, like, one is giving them big, you know, it's all tempo. It's like, oh man, I gotta get the Raid trigger in before their Prowess trigger, you know, and you can counter with a Prowess trigger, which is kinda cool too, right? So far, you know, we've only seen three cards, or four cards, or whatever, five cards. But so far, the art looks absolutely stunningly good. I got to see some high reses of some of the art, and man, this block looks absolutely bonkers. So I'm quite impressed with that. What did you think, though, overall, though, Jack, about the dual decks? Like, do they even?
The dual decks that have come out. We talked about this earlier in the week. Cunning is unfortunately, I think, going to be way more over the top than speed. I wouldn't necessarily, like, here's the problem I have with dual decks, okay? They're rarely as balanced as Wizards intends them to be. Usually there's just one deck that is always going to be that much better than the other one. There's been a few instances in which they did fairly well. Tybalt and Sorin wasn't really that bad. And the Nicol Bolas versus Ajani wasn't that bad, because what you had more so there were trump cards rather than synergistic interactions that actually worked well together. And I've looked over this deck list, and the problem I have with it is the speed deck, if it's going to be able to resolve Krenko or those Battle Chiefs early or anything like that, it's just going to win. Just because those cards enable you to have too much board position too early, and they're going to punish the Cunning deck for it. However, the Cunning deck is blue and has card draw. And that is the thing that wins games. So,
exactly,
that,
right?
I'm not even trying to be like simple or anything about it, but the fact that it's just able to draw more cards and that the speed deck can't do that, okay? I think that's going to make Cunning all the more better. So what we have is yet again another instance in which Wizards tries to make a cool product, they have some really cool art behind it, and it still ends up being unbalanced. So I am going to pass. I say if there's something in it you want specifically. Like the Arcanus has really amazing art compared to the original art they've been using. So that's awesome. But if there's cool stuff in it, you know, buy it for $20 at Walmart, gut it and trade it off.
I just feel like every time you pitch red versus blue, you literally have to give red two times the power that you normally would, because they're going to just run out of cards.
Even more specifically, and if I actually had the deck list up in front of me, I would cite specific examples. There are cards in the Cunning deck that just shut down the blue deck, like, period. And again, I wish I had it up in front of me so I could cite them. But so that coupled with backbreaking card draw and creatures that are evasive like Arcanus himself, Cunning's just better. And that's very unfortunate, because it's not a good marketing ploy to have such unbalanced decks against each other. So again, the dual decks, I don't know what Wizards' thinking is on them. It's like they have two really cool ideas, And they take two people and are like, hey, design a deck for scrubs that casual people will feel good about, right? And the people are like, yeah, yeah, I'm going to do this. And they can't put anything crazy in it, so it's like they just reach into a box and slap a bunch of cards together and put a name on it, and they're good to go.
I really don't know why they can't. Like, this argument that just keeps coming out of Wizards and maybe the community and, like, defending the corporation is just like, well, they can't put good cards. Well, then,
I mean,
that's right. My argument is, yeah, absolutely, they could do anything they want. I don't understand the logic here. I mean, are they protecting older cards, collections, values? Like, what's the thing? Because I could right now go into my box and put a very good blue versus red deck together, and I'm not going to put Brainstorms and Force of Wills in it, but I am going to make them, I don't know, a hell of a lot more balanced. It almost feels like they're like, okay, look, we've got this new con set coming out. And so they try to balance so many things. You know, we got to have a bit of cons cards. We got to have it kind of work with this and that. And there's so many restrictions that you end up with this very, mishmashy Frankenstein-y feel of, well, all these cards kind of, because if I buy this, oh, look, this card is in the upcoming set. And I feel that then that's, you know, if that's your goal, maybe you shouldn't make a dual deck like that. Like, I would love a free of restrictions dual deck, you know, of just good cards, like the best, you know.
Yeah, and the only one that was reasonably close was, I think, Elves versus Goblins, which was the first one they put out. Because
right.
You had two aggro decks that could do broken shit, and they were paired off against each other. And they both had a relative amount of tutors, a relative amount of must-have cards in the deck, and it worked fine, and that was great. And then they realized they had a cash cow with a casual audience, and they ran with it.
Yep. Yeah. And the sad thing is, I mean, we got the full spoiler for Annihilation, which we kind of talked about last week, but I was curious to hear what you thought. Yeah, right?
Oh, yeah, like, there's absolutely no real reason to pick this up. A, because a lot of the wrath effects they have in here, like Fracturing Gusts and Fire Spell
boring.
And stuff like that, they're boring, and they're not even as far sweeping as you would want them to be. And then the only other things that we have in here that might be of relative interest, I mean, All Is Dust isn't in there, if I remember correctly, is it?
Nope.
Okay, so we don't have All Is Dust, which is one of the most played casual and competitive cards in Eternal formats. Like, Modern plays that, it sees some play in Legacy, and it is a must-play in Commander. All right, so let's take that card and just not put that fucking in there like a bunch of dildos. And
yeah, it's because that was a GP promo. Who cares?
Okay, but I guess...
Damnation wasn't in there either, was it?
Yeah, no. That pissed me off.
Damn it, like, for me, Child of Alara shouldn't be in there. Yeah. That card just makes no sense. Virtue's Ruin, destroy all white creatures, doesn't feel like it should be in there. Fire Spout has got incredible new artwork, which I love. I think it's a cool card, sure. But, like, Fracturing Gust? Fracturing Gust, so many cards.
Yeah. Like, Fracturing Gust sees minimal play in some Commander and Casual groups. Fire Spout, they want that card to be a thing in Modern, but it's not to the degree they wish it was. And I honestly don't even know why the blue hell they put this Portal card in here. Like,
I guess that's your, hey man, this is the money card. Although, it's a stupid shit card that I don't know.
There's no reason to get this other than to flip it. And that's it.
Yeah.
I sadly wouldn't even put that in my cube. So, no. Of all the cards, this is the worst part. Of all the cards that, like, I look, I'm like, what would go in my cube? Well, Upheaval would go in my cube because I don't own a copy. But if I did, I wouldn't care. Other than that, I don't know, maybe Fire Spout. I already got all the other cards.
Guys,
so.
There's Terminus. Yay.
Yeah, Terminus?
Oh, yay.
Terminus over, like, okay, I don't
Terminus
know.
Over fucking anything? Like, I mean, I don't know. It's like,
over cards that people have been demanding for 2 years for a format that they realize they might want to market to? Yeah, that seems perfectly logical.
There
are cards people have been bitching about wanting a copy of since before Terminus came out, because it just came out not that long ago.
Precisely.
Like,
yeah. Of the good things that Wizards have done, Grizzlebrand promo looks insane.
So sweet.
And
I'm
like,
so glad they didn't change the flavor text on that either, because it's very dramatic for the art.
Like, to me, it's weird. It's like, there's one person at Wizards who understands about, like, reprinting expensive cards and how to do it, and then there's, like, a bunch of monkeys that sit at typewriters. And they don't know, like, sometimes, like, hey, which room did the new request go to? Did it go to the monkey room, or did it go to, like, Gavin? Like, I don't know. Because it's sometimes, like, you know, Annihilations gets put together, and you're like, well, that was the monkeys just, accidentally hitting the filter destroy on Magic Online.
I just had the scene from the remake of Planet of the Apes flash in my head. Hey guys, do you think we should remake an expensive card? No!
But honestly, I think Grizzlebrand was out of control. It was heading north of $70.
And what?
Yeah, wasn't it? The foil was like retarded. The foil was almost close to 100. It was retarded. So now,
amazing.
In Toronto, at the WMCQ or whatever the hell, why was that? I don't even know what it was. They were already talking $25. So Grizzy's down to something that I feel is really reasonable. When these cards start really hitting, I think, you know, pick them up, man, because I'm definitely going to want one of those. Even though I already have
them. I got to have that one now. Oh, like, I just finally grabbed a fucking Grizzlebrand for my cube, and now I don't want it anymore because I saw this one. I'm like, God damn it.
Right? Like, because the art is... very rarely is the art on the promos better than the original, but that's very well done, guys. So I'm huge. Now, I know this came out a while ago, and I don't believe we talked to Jack about this. And he's the commander guy, and Jack's probably like, oh my God. I know, right? Like, hey, Jack, you're the commander guy. And you're like, oh, fuck, really? I'd rather be the rainbow block guy. But okay, I'll take it. So we had the commander deck spoilers come out way back. And I know people are like, oh, my God, Heavy Metal, you guys suck talking about this. I'm like, I have to get his opinion, so this won't take long. But Teferi, you can now make him a fucking commander general. What do you think? You don't give a shit.
Well, it's kind of like this, okay? It's not necessarily that Teferi is good when it comes to Commander. It's the implications that Teferi has for everything else. Because nobody on the official ratings committee has really came out yet and said, you know, hey, this does not mean you can use commanders as generals, or, you know, oh, it's totally cool. So Teferi represents this very gray area and for most people in their metagame, where if you want to play a commander as a general, you can. And this is something that a lot of people were actually doing beforehand. Okay, like, it was just very quietly done, and people would talk about it on Salvation every now and then and have a little bit of success. And here is the thing you need to know about having Planeswalkers as commanders. Very few of them are any good at all. Okay? How much experience did you guys have with the World of Warcraft card game?
Zero.
Okay, well, the thing you need to know about the WoW game is the way it was set up, you picked a hero that was who you were playing and represented your life total and shit like that. And you had little allies that you could summon to attack the other player and attack their hero. All right? Are you following me so far?
Yep.
All right. Using a commander as a general is a lot like that, except it's actually worse because there's very few instances in which your commander can protect himself. Secondly, most of the commanders are anywhere from 4 to 6 or 7 for reasonable ones. Okay. Like Nicol Bolas, Soren Markov, yada, yada, yada. Those things are a pain in the ass to recast because most of their relevant abilities are going to take 2 turns around the table to actually fire, and they don't have that kind of survivability. They rarely, rarely do. So there's no commanders currently that are so overpowered at being a general that being able to use planeswalkers as generals is going to be a big fucking deal. And in the instance of Teferi specifically, he is actually incredibly fair. Where he's going to get unfair is with decks that abuse him with things like Doubling Season.
Yep.
Because Super Friends decks are a real thing, and they will murder you with Teferi if they can bust that ultimate off. With all of that said, though, however, I'm not really afraid of this. I mean, it's cool. He doesn't look like one of the Wayans brothers anymore, which is nice. But other than that, I don't really have an opinion simply because there's not enough information surrounding this, and there's not enough like power cards with regards to planeswalkers for it to really make a fuck.
Right.
I mean, I just always thought that. I mean, planeswalkers felt like such a natural general, anyways. Yeah. I was kind of like shocked that, wow, really? I thought you actually could just use a planeswalker.
Well, Commander is so fucking stupid when it comes to rollings on certain things, because even though we all know we don't have to and we can do it with our own little playgroup, like Sheldon tells us, we still kind of have to follow his rulings whenever it comes to shit like this. And that was a thing that didn't happen for a while. But then again, we also had generals who would only have one color in their casting cost, and then an ability that had a different color in it, and we couldn't use those generals because technically that would have been an illegal use of mana. So that was a thing that happened in our particular realm as well.
Hmm. I mean, yeah. Do you feel like the future is going to be of them just saying, okay, look, whatever, fuck it. Like, I could totally see them juicing five new planeswalkers that are built for Commander. Like, oh man, it's going to open up new design space because then they can get planeswalkers that they can obviously do things they couldn't do in Standard with. Like, I could totally see them doing that.
It would be really cool. I'm not going to lie to you about that. But the thing you have to remember is Commander does need some kind of core rule system, just so if you go to a GP or abroad or whatever, you're able to interact with fellow Commander players that you see, and it's easier for tournament organizers to have some set structure to follow by, because Commander games can get really out of hand. One of my favorite memories of playing with completely no ban list or anything like that is me and the boys were gathered around, and we had already been 30 minutes into this very grindy back and forth game, right? Mm-hmm. And then some dickhead cast Shahrazad. And so we go over to another table, and we're sitting there playing, and this dude has a shit-eating grin on his face, and I'm just like, dude, you know, what is it? What is it? And all of a sudden, he's just like, enter the dungeon?
Enter the dungeon?
Do you know what that does?
No. What the hell will that do?
It's the unglued version of Shahrazad, but you have to play the other game under the table. So we had two subset games, and the subset game of the Enter the Dungeon lasted 2 hours. And by the time we got back, we had no fucking idea what was going on. And states like that should not be able to happen if you're traveling abroad for obvious logistical reasons, okay? But they can happen in Commander.
Oh, my God.
But so as much as I personally and a lot of people would like to see the Rules Committee going back to what it originally was, which was more of a suggestion than a necessity, I don't think that's going to happen. And it doesn't necessarily need to happen.
Do you ever see Commander as an actual, like, pro tour, like, side format? Like, or like, no, like, I know, even the suggestion people are like, oh my god, that's crazy, but like, would it? Like, could you ever play, like, a
logistically
four-man Commander? Like, it's probably not fair.
I think it would be fucking awesome, and
pros to build Commander decks.
Yeah, and I would also want like JR and a couple of other people from WWE's announcing history to do it, because that would just make it for me. Like, I would buy a pay per view of that. Okay,
I would too.
But with that being said, if they were going to do this hypothetically in this magical Christmas land where my dick is made of chocolate and comes $100 bills. It would probably have to actually be a 1v1 Commander, which is not real Commander.
What is that?
That's
1v1 Commander follows
Commander.
It's 1-on-1 Commander, but it follows a completely different ban list where things like Soul Ring and Top and all this other stuff is banned. And the games, honestly, they're a lot more fair, but you can still do degenerate things. And for a competitive 1v1 list to not be able to win on like turn 4 or 5. That's bad. And that's not real Commander to me. I think Commander should be full of these broken interactions where crazy shit happens with the bare minimum of design logic behind the format.
Yeah,
so,
I mean, yeah,
it would be, dude, I would love to see it. I would love to see like a side event that somebody actually took seriously and they did coverage for it. But that's kind of how I would see it. It would take like a bunch of drunken idiots like us or you would have to have the right kind of announcers, and you would have to have the right kind of personalities behind it. Like, I would totally be down with seeing Carlos on camera.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a few people I would love to see.
Yeah, Sean, Swords to Plowshares, I would love to see him actually play, like, on camera. But for a lot of different reasons, logistically speaking, also because people do not like watching two-hour games, it's just not going to happen.
Yeah, that's the only thing. Like,
I can't even handle playing two-hour games, let alone watching them.
Well, that's the thing, right? Like, I think it would get they would have to find a way to make it extremely fast. I don't know how you do that. Is there a way to speed up, Commander?
Yeah, there's a couple.
30 card decks. No.
Well, in all seriousness, you could do things like have a chaos stack. Do you guys know what that is?
Yeah.
Yeah, you could have a chaos stack in the center of the table without players being able to interact with it once it resolves. You could have it where life totals start off at 30 or 20, which would significantly aid token-based and aggro strategies, which would be a good thing. You could have it where it's two-headed giant. You could have it where the power 9 and fast mana accelerants like channel were unbanned. There's a lot of different ways you could speed up the game. It's just, wow. I don't know if they would necessarily be healthy outside of that event.
It obviously would be a one-off kind of, maybe they should do the community cup. There you go. God, you give Scotty Mac commander as a format, he's going to win it for us hands down. That would be
I would shed a tear. I actually think I would shed a tear. Well, that would be wondrous for me.
And wouldn't it be the most perfect format? Like, it's all about the community. That's kind of what... Yeah, they should do that. That's it's kind of bizarre why they don't do that.
I mean, if that happened, I would loan him my paper copy of Shuriken. Like,
no, gosh. Whoa.
I would do it.
Wow.
Yep.
Just use it, man. Just use it. I don't care if it gets scratched. Just use it, man. Just come all over it. Anyways, rub your greasy hands all over my shrew.
I want the Cheeto crumbs intact when you mail it back.
Oh, disgusting. Just disgusting. Well, I mean, are you excited for the Community Cup? I mean, shit, that shit is coming out of nowhere next month, right?
You know, like Scotty Max on it and Worth Woolport, I believe is the guy's name. He's on there. So, I mean, it would be really cool to watch the game actually crash for him. But outside of that, I don't really care. Like, I mean, yay, Scotty got it. That's awesome. And somebody that's not a total jackass, but meh, like, whatever, man. What's it matter?
You're not a fan of the whole community?
No, I think it's a really cool concept. I don't think they actually market it well enough, and they don't hype people out nearly as much as they should. Like, I am super stoked that Scotty got on there because he deserves it and he works his ass off. But, you know, every year the Community Cup happens, and then, like, there's no real, like, gain for the community if they win. And Wizards doesn't really fucking care if they win outside of, you know, holding it over our heads for the rest of our lives. Or the next year, or whatever. So, if there was actually something on the line for the Community Cup, like, if there was something...
Other than pride.
Yeah, other than pride, other than the fact, you know, hey, we beat the same guys we always beat, guys. Yeah, we're winners. Like, if there was actually something worth fighting for on that, like, you know, let's say Wizards wanted to donate, like, $5,000 to charity if the community won. John Finkel charity.
I don't think that's big enough. How about they put something real on the lines, like Fetchland reprints?
Yeah.
That would be epic.
Yeah. Confirm you want, when that's going to happen.
Not confirm. It's just if the community wins, you get your fetch lands. If Wizards wins, you get your tri lands.
Yeah, absolutely.
Something like, really gay like that. That would be awesome.
Is this the Buttfuckers Anonymous Club?
Oh, yes, shit!
I thought I was here for the Buttfuckers Anonymous.
Sir, are you in fact a buttfucker?
I mean, anonymously.
Yeah, I mean,
we can't say his name. It's anonymous.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Line up, boys.
That actually does start in about an hour and a half. We're just using the hall till they get here.
You got here early. We're at the Community Cup Commander Anonymous fucking...
I know. I'm sitting here listening to you talk about how easy it is to beat all them and everything, and I'm a member of the only Community Cup to have lost.
Oh, I didn't even know. That's such a horrible break for him to be sitting there. Oh, sorry, Conley. Conley. Sorry. It's okay. Tell us. It's an anonymous meeting. Tell us about your loss.
No, it actually did suck to lose to them. I mean, it was... I think we were... The odds were weighted against us. The previous 2 years, the community had won, and they, like... had a day in which, like, the events basically were extremely favorable for the community. They had, like, bonus points and all kinds of stuff, basically to, like, ensure that they would, like, basically if the community was extremely far behind, they would have a chance to catch up. And for us, they didn't do that. So we were, like, behind a little bit going in the last day, and we actually won the last day, but not enough to win the whole thing, so we ended up losing.
So you're saying that they actually made a level playing field and the community couldn't bring it home? Is that what you're saying?
Sort of. It's not. I wouldn't really say it's a level playing field, because remember that, like, we're playing against a bunch of R&D members and former pros and, like, people that really know the game. And while, you know, I'm on the team, we had Jackie Lee on the team, people like that who actually are very talented. We also have some people who...
Like Smitty and...
Well, Smitty's pretty good, yeah.
But no, he's good. I'm just joking.
We have some people that are there that, you know, because they do video content or because they're cosplayers or whatever. Like, those people,
right,
while they might play Magic, they're obviously not – they're not playing Magic as, like,
– high caliber.
I want to, like, win all the time mode. Like, that's not what they're thinking is. So when you pair them against, you know, Aaron Forsythe or whatever, like, that's not really –
Yeah, I remember watching that, and I'm like, wow, Aaron Forsythe's playing? They're really pissed. Like, to put him on the other team, they're like, wow, they don't want to lose.
We had to play against, like, Mike Turian and Limited. And
think about that coverage. That's fair.
What's that, Jack?
I said his hairline is actually the most intimidating thing. Oh. I really wish he would, like, change his Twitter picture, because it scares me sometimes. He's like, so, you want these cards. How much do you value your legs? I just want reprints. I just want reprints, Mr. Forsythe. Sir, yes, I'll kiss your ring.
So, Conley, how was the Pro Tour, man?
How did you do there? Somewhere in top 100. I don't even know where to be exact. I should probably look it up right now. I was playing for top 25, got me. Or maybe it was top 16. No, it was top 16, gets me gold for next year. And obviously top 25 is an invite, so that's obviously a big deal as well. So day one, I managed to go 5-3, which was not the worst, but 3-0 limited, and then ran into some tough matchups in constructed. And then day two, I started off 3-0 again in limited, so I 6-0 limited. So I was looking pretty well set to make a run at top 8 even, which would have been nice. But then basically the deck I played, which was a Necromancer stockpile list, had some extreme matchups on each side. It had some very, very, very good matchups, ones that I would consider unlosable, or, like, very close to it, like 80% range. And then it also had some very, very, very bad matchups where even post-board, you at best bring it to an even game and you're not favored to win the match at all. And it basically, I ended up playing a lot of the later and not much of the former. I was very good against, like, mono-black decks and blue-white and Esper and all that kind of stuff. And basically tripped over.
You just didn't get the matchups you needed.
I played against, like, one total of those decks, and then I played, I could not beat a mono red deck or a mono blue deck to save my life, and I played against four combined of those, and then a hexproof deck, which is just another version of mono red. So it was, like, basically five decks that I just could not beat ever, and then in my remaining games, I went 3-1 and then scooped a Martell. So it was, like, you know.
Right.
You know what? It's funny, because I saw one of your matches on camera, and I was just like, I love that you keep bringing brews. But I know I remember way back, because I followed, you know, the whole Conley experience, when, you know, you went to that stage there where you're like, fucking, I'm brewing, it's rogue all the way, and then you kind of came around and you're like, no, I just play what the team tells me to, because
that's
I
not true. That.
No, you did. You wrote the article.
I never said I just play what the team tells me to play. I said, if I cannot come up with something better, I'm going to play what the team tells me to play, which is true, and I did play what the team told me
that's
to play.
That's different.
For a couple different tournaments, and two tournaments ago, I played a pod in the Modern Pro Tour. Like, I'm still fine playing what is considered the best deck if I don't have anything better. For last Pro Tour, for the one in Atlanta, we brewed a very sick, an awesome block Enchantress deck, basically, that the whole team played, and it was awesome. So I'm totally happy with that deck choice. And then for this one, basically nobody can come. I tried to break the format a million ways. I couldn't do it. The team tried, you know, all kinds of specific builds and things like that. They couldn't break the format. So everybody was, okay, we're going to play comfort decks. That's kind of what you go to at that point. Yeah. Everybody, you know, there was no one consensus even, like, of the good decks. Not even one of them was necessarily the best. There was not, like, mono black's the best deck by far, mono blue's the best deck. It was just, a bunch of good decks. Pick one. That's kind of how we felt. So everybody fell back to their comfort picks. I continued to brew. I had a deck that was just crushing mono black, crushing black white, crushing Esper, crushing blue white. And I was like, okay, let's test it against the next most popular deck, which is going to be Mono Blue, and that was an extremely difficult matchup for me. But so originally I had put the deck down, and I was like, okay, I'm not playing this. Then like 2 days later, the team's like, you know, the only people going to be playing Mono Blue are like Sam Black and Sam Party and like, you know, like the regular characters playing it. Like, it's not going to be a popular deck. I was like, oh, you think so? And they're like, yeah, like, I wouldn't even worry about that. So then I basically just tried to like help out my sideboard as much as I could against the super aggressive decks, which I also didn't expect to be as popular as they ended up being, which was a bad call on my part. But, it, you know, it just ended up working out with the matchups. Like, my first three matchups were basically unwinnable for me. And then I played against John Planeswalkers, beat that as I, that's the other matchup I had was very good, was Jund. So
really?
It was, yeah, so I thought that, like, between Jund, Mono Black, and then the control decks, like Blue White and Blue White Black, that between that spectrum, if I just, like, hit, you know, five or six of those matchups, so that would be perfectly fine.
Hey, you'd be okay, yeah.
But I just did, I hit, like I said, like one or two of those. So I now, guess Martell was playing the.
What did you think about Flock taking it all down with that crazy like minimal win con blue white deck?
Oh yeah, I mean he beat me in the Swiss. He was I think my second loss. And it actually sucked. Like the planar cleansings in his deck are just insane. Yep. I think. Like they were very, very strong against me. My deck was very well set up to be Detention Sphere between Abrupt Decays and Redundant Copies, and you can't take out the zombies and the stockpile at once, etc. And I thought when he was on blue white, I was extremely excited to be playing against him. And then as soon as that first planar cleansing hit, I mean, I kind of knew it was coming ahead of time, but as soon as it hit, I was like, that's the worst.
So is the goal to just beat that, like to get in under that?
I mean,
you can't beat it, right?
If you try to get in under it, they're just going to Supreme Verdict you. It's like really difficult to get in under a Supreme Verdict when there's Azorius Charm like disrupting you and counter spells. Like, I mean, you basically have to play a cohesive strategy against it. So like, I like Mono Black aggro against that type of deck where you have like Thoughtseize and a really aggressive start and Brain Maggot out of the board. You kind of need like a strategy that's just overall good against it. You can't really like, you know,
slip one in.
Yeah, you can't really slip one in. I mean, if you're like a Jund deck and you have enough threats that you're like pretty good pre-board, but not 100%, then you can maybe board in like four copies of extra discard spells and stuff like that and get the matchup to where you want it to be. But if you have a bad matchup against blue-white, you're not boarding anything to change that, really. Like, it's not like that weak of a deck.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was funny because I really felt like, obviously, we got the announcement that at the time Wizards was going to force standard Pro Tours, which is like why I wanted to bring you on tonight. I really wanted like a pros insight into that whole thing because I know the community overreacted. I mean, I don't even think they overreacted.
I definitely think they overreacted.
Really? Well, all right. Well,
So if the pros had been the ones to say something, and we did, trust me, it was announced while we were actually playing our matches, not like in the middle of the game, but like during the tournament day. So, you know, we had some feedback, but it was, you know, not on Twitter and stuff where it's like vocal. So we actually needed the fans effectively to speak out there because they were making this change based on the fact that they thought the fans would like it. They thought the fans would want to see more.
Really?
Standard. Yeah, the whole thing was standard sells.
Really?
Standard is popular. All the streams that we do standard are more popular than the other non-standard streams, which is true. Standard articles on websites are more popular than non-standard articles. All these things are true. Standard is by far the most popular format. But so they were like, oh, we'll just give, you know, people standard all the time and they'll love it. Like, look at the SCG series. They do two formats constantly and people love it. And then so they made the change. And then as soon as the fans were like, wait a second, we don't want to watch the same thing as the SCG series because, like,
exactly.
In my opinion, like, the SCG series trains you to do different things. It trains you to be a tuner. It trains you to, like, be strong with a single archetype. Do you remember, like, with the, like, golden era, I want to say, of this Star City Circuit where it was, like, Bertoncini and Edgar Flores showing up with Callblade every single week and changing two cards, and that was the entire difference, and then somebody added another color to their deck and somebody would remove a color, and it was, like, these small little precision tweaks week
they're
after
all tuning.
Week.
Yep.
That's what I think the Pro Tour would have, or even still might be, like, they've only announced that the one's going to be modern. I don't know what they're doing with the rest yet, but if there was going to be four Pro Tours a year, they're all standard, I think you would see a lot of that, just like people playing the same deck over and over and making it better. Like, the Wescos of the world get huge benefits because if White Weenie's good for a block, he's set for the whole year.
But see, that's what I didn't understand. Like, I know from like being more of a consumer of the Pro Tour and Magic, I looked at it as the last thing I want to see from the best stage of Magic is the same thing every time because, like you said, I can already watch SCG every week. So I don't really want to watch the Pro Tour. I honestly just wouldn't watch it. So, I mean, I think they totally fumbled from the fact that they're billing it as the best of the best of Magic. It's the best players. It's the best formats. So to, like, not have it be varied, I think that's just wrong. Like, Modern, also, there's a sub-game here where, you know, of course, maybe you don't feel the impact as much as, like, the average person does, but Magic's very expensive, and it comes to a point where we're like, hey, I'd really like this deck that I've invested thousands of dollars in to kind of be like that thing. I may play draft, I may play limited, I'll play standard, but like I don't want, it felt like they just said, hey, Modern, fuck it, it's not a thing anymore.
Right.
Because they're such a focus on standard, and it felt like from the casual person's, or not even casual, just like the average Magic player's standpoint, that holy crap, like, why did you promote the fuck out of Modern and then take it off the grand
and
stage?
Take it away.
You know, that's what it felt like, so I don't know. I think they just totally misread.
Yeah, I definitely am right there with you. I would have not liked it as a brewer. It would have been very difficult. I would have had basically two Pro Tours a year where I could have done anything, which is the first one of the year where the first set comes out, because that would have been the biggest shift, of course. Mm-hmm. You have an entire block rotating out and just a lot of shakeup.
Everything changes, yeah.
And then also this particular block, the format is big block, small, or big set, small set. Big set, small set, big set, core set.
Yeah.
Well, core set, small set, and confusing thing. So the fact that they're doing two large sets within the block would mean that the third Pro Tour this time around would probably be interesting as well, because that's getting shook up by, you know, 300 new cards as opposed to a small amount. So I think that would be – so this year would be maybe acceptable, because I would get two of the Pro Tours I could probably brew with. But those other two Pro Tours would be kind of like lame duck Pro Tours, honestly. People would just be playing kind of the known deck.
Yeah, the big thing like that, like we always follow, like as people who are trying to find stories and things, are all about like what are the pros going to do at the Pro Tour? And like you said, I could only imagine the alternate reality where it's four standard Pro Tours. The first one's going to probably come off like a success because it's going to be the first one, like you said. But then the second one is going to be just ultimately. Like, they say they're, you know, we're going to make this exciting, and I assume they didn't just choose this out of their ass, that they were like, hey, cons is going to be different enough that maybe it will switch things up. But if it wasn't, and it was just tuning, wow, like, hey, it's Conley with his green-black deck again. Well, he's changed two lands, and
well, yeah,
he's sideboarding in this card. Like,
change, it gets terrible. It gets basically unwatchable. Because it's like, you know, everybody, you know, all the random fans out there, so to speak, it's like, you know, you go to, like, these kids are seeing the same damn deck at their FNMs all the time. And then it's like, oh, sweet, here it is, the big stage. I get to watch the same decks that I've been winning it or losing against, you know, over and over again. Just like, let's watch them, you know, these are the people I look up to, these pros, you know, like you, Conley, like, you know, there's people who look up to you, like Magic players are like, oh, wow, like, you know, let's see what Conley's going to do. It's like, oh, man, I changed three cards in my deck.
Yeah.
And here we go.
And the Grand Prix circuit kind of already exists for that. Like, you see people like Sam Black showing up with Mono Blue time and time again, and it's kind of cool to watch that story. But you also want to see what his team comes up with and what sweet idea he shows up with for the Modern Pro Tour, and not just him tweaking his Mono Blue deck. That's the other thing is, if once all the Pro Tours become standard, theoretically, then you're down to a small percentage of tournaments being Modern, only Grand Prix. So Modern gets paid significantly less attention to just because there's not the rewards there to really spend and devote a lot of time. You lose a lot of these like Modern specialists that we picked up on the Pro Tour recently. Like, there's been a lot of talk about these people who are specifically good at Modern. You lose all that appeal. And in addition to that, like, I think that the ultimate goal would be to get Grand Prix to slowly become more and more standardized. And then you have this very boring, constant standard tournament scene that I don't think can support as many tournaments as they want to have.
No.
So I'm glad that they at least like rectified part of their change with the modern announcement. And I'm sure, depending on continued feedback, that more will come of that. So.
Now, the biggest disappointment, I guess, because it's three standard, one modern, correct? Or is one block still?
I believe so they announced next year that all will be standard, and then they announced that they decided to change that, and the first Pro Tour next year will be modern. I don't know if that means that the other two will remain unchanged as planned, or if it means that those are kind of still hanging in the balance, and we'll see how it goes.
Because, like, I mean, I was a huge fan of the limited Pro Tour, or the block constructed Pro Tour. I thought that was where the most brewing and the most interesting stuff happened.
Yeah, and you get a lot of standard, like foreshadows.
Yeah, and it was just, I think the big story, like, if it all went to standard Pro Tours, I think the mega teams, like, diminish the point of having a mega team if, like, hey, it's the third standard Pro Tour in, we've done this again, what are we gonna learn, guys? I don't know, not much. So, I feel like the stories that they're gonna tell on camera, like, how did they, from my brain walking through this, I don't know, like, how many times Marshall would just be sitting there like, well, hey, we've seen this last time, so here he goes again. Like, it's mono blue control matchups. Like, let's do this again. I don't know.
First of all, I would caution you to ever try to get inside Marshall's head. It's just a bad plan.
Really? There's just no way in there? It's locked?
I mean, you're just going to hurt yourself if you go in.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's not that it's a bad plan. It's just... Yeah.
Watch the first step as you fall down deep. The other thing I was gonna say too is like, so what do you think about the whole PT?
Wait, what was that?
The what? No, I was gonna say, what do you think about that
whole word? What word was that? Did you say in there?
What the PTQQ?
I don't know what the word boot means.
Oh, the boot? Really say a boot? I don't think.
Oh God!
Did I say a boot? I thought I said.
I have an American on my team now.
Ah, damn it! God damn it! you fuckers.
Continue.
Oh, dude. You think that's bad? You should hear him pronounce Paladin. It's Paladin.
Paladin?
Hey, man. Hey, don't be fucking around there. Hey, guys. I'm going to go down to the Timmy's. All right. No, seriously. Like, what do you think about the old hosers and the PTQQs? That's what I was going to say.
Oh,
like,
that's.
What do you think about that shit?
It's actually an interesting question. So as of right now, I'm silver this year, which is the lowest I've been in 6 years, but I am nonetheless. So the PTQs actually affect me. I luckily get to be straight invited to the regional ones. I don't have to compete at the store level ones, which is nice. So I just get to skip
and that. That's because you're silver. You get
correct. Okay. It's as if you won a prelim PTQ and you get to play in the regional PTQ. However, for people that get to play in the prelims, I think it's probably better for them. It ultimately comes down to your local scene. Obviously, if you have a shitty store, it's going to be a shitty PTQ. Like, that sucks because I know people, when they made the pre-release switch, I think a lot of people thought it was, you know, pretty positive. A lot more people are going to PTQs to pre-releases overall, even though that the large one isn't kind of around. In some places, the large one is still around. But there were some stores that said, you know, or some players that said, our store sucks, they don't give out good prizes, they don't have a good space, they don't have good gaming tables, whatever. So this change really sucks for us, so, you know, change it back. Those people obviously need to be heard, but I think overall the pre-release change has been pretty positive. So I think that in the long run, this will probably be positive on the whole. I think there'll need to be some regulatory rules put into place to make sure that everyone's running their PTQs correctly and with the correct amount of, you know, personnel and space and all that stuff, because I know there's been a lot of complaints about, you know, this place didn't have air conditioning, et cetera, et cetera. And some of that's, you know, reasonable to an extent. But we have to make sure we're treating the players well, because when you don't have regional TOs who have an incentive to kind of make things awesome for you, because that's all they do. It's like, you know, I need you to come back to this PTQ, so I'm going to make this PTQ as good as I can for you. And, you know, even they drop the ball sometimes. But when it's a store owner who's like, okay, well, this is the store you come to. Like, I don't have to impress you. It's a PTQ. Go, like, that's cool to one degree because you drive down the street and you're at your PTQ. But on the other hand, it's not really the same experience as driving cross-country, camping out in a shitty motel. You
know, and then getting two houses.
Drinking beers with your buddies, you know, two of you top eight, and you have to play in the semifinals, and there's this big story and stuff. Now that's kind of not really there for me as much. But at the same time, it seems a lot more accessible for people that have jobs or can't travel, which is nice.
Does the new structure actually make the, like, kind of someone in your position who's like, I've got a full-time job, I can devote.
I think so.
Yeah, is it actually more beneficial? Because like you have to fight through more to me. Well, maybe I'm wrong.
Basically, this is the way it is. So if I'm not going to a Grand Prix, and it's the old PTQ structures, I have the choice of looking around my area, seeing if there's a PTQ. If there's not one within a reasonable distance, I just miss out. I don't get to do anything that weekend. If there is a PTQ that weekend, I have to go. Now, under the new structure, if I don't go to a Grand Prix, I get to look for a prelim PTQ, which there's theoretically going to be one somewhere in my area because stores aren't going to hold them on the same weekend. So basically, I'm going to be guaranteed to be able to go to a prelim PTQ if I want to, which is awesome. I head to that store, do my prelim. If I win it and I get to go to the regional PTQ, now I know ahead of time what date I need to set aside, what I have to plan for, et cetera, et cetera. So I get to kind of like make that decision all ahead of time.
And it's a single day, right? Versus.
Yeah. And it's one day. That's the other thing is there's no big traveling. Like I get to set aside my one, like if I had to travel to Kansas City and to Nebraska and to Albuquerque and to Salt Lake, for five different PTQs, that's probably five different 2-day trips. Whereas now I can make five different 1-day trips, spike one of those prelim PTQs and then make one 2-day trip. So it's a lot better overall in terms of like how much actual time you need to devote to it. And also kind of helps the people that don't necessarily make the best deck choice because they get to go to them more frequently. So like if you're like, I don't really feel super confident in my deck, should I PTQ today? It was like, well, I have $30, let's go for it. And then you just, you know,
well,
show
and
up.
I also feel like it, like on the other side of things, it kind of like separates the wheat from the chaff. Like I'm not real akin to the whole like PTQ experience because it's just nothing I've ever really gone through, you know, playing casual Magic, then getting like fairly somewhat competitive like on Magic Online, and then, you know, just doing a podcast. I haven't had to deal with the PTQ situation much at all, but like to me it just seems like adding that extra layer kind of, you know, it prevents being like, oh sweet, somebody just happened to fucking run hot at a PTQ and now they've got a Pro Tour invite. Like it helps the situation with let's have the talented players be able to be in the Pro Tour. Like it altogether ups the caliber of the players that are going to be at the Pro Tour as compared to like, you know, oh, maybe there's some riffraff here, not riffraff, but like, you know, there's some lucky folks here and there that happen to make it. This is like, you know, if you're good at this game, if you're a good Magic player, chances are now you're going to end up there because you actually have to run good. You actually have to, you know, there's one more layer you have to get through. To get to, you know, basically to get to a PTQ and then win the PTQ and then go on the Pro Tour. And so it just, I think it ups the caliber of the game altogether.
It's a lot closer to what the old regionals, nationals, Pro Tour, or regionals, nationals, worlds, formula was. That was a really exciting thing because it was a full train. It was like, okay, I get to go to nationals. The nationals is definitely a big tournament, but it is not a Pro Tour in any way, shape, or form. So it's like, cool, I get to go to nationals. That's a big deal. And then if you top three that or top four that or whatever, now you're going to worlds. That's huge. This, obviously, the regional PTQ is not quite as big as nationals, but you get to do them more frequently. You theoretically get to go more easily. It's not just one tournament feeding into it the way regionals is. It just seems like, I think overall, it'll probably be positive. Like I said, there's definitely going to be some roughing out, you know, smoothing out the edges and stuff. There's going to be some wrong implementation. There's going to be some
learning curve and shit.
Yeah, exactly. All kinds of stuff. Player feedback is going to be very important. So make sure if you are at home and playing PTQs and not liking them or liking them, whatever, make sure you send feedback. I'm sure WotC has forums available for you. Yeah, exactly.
I'm gonna go ahead and step out on a ledge and make a prediction. Like somebody's gonna be pissed off about this. But
of course,
in the Magic community,
hey man, give me your feedback because there's nothing as exciting as filling out internet forums. No, that's the way to do it, people. No, you know what I was gonna say, Conley, because I had an interesting discussion with a few people about, you know, where Magic's growing and they're making all these rules because just how big GPs and just how big everything is getting, right? And obviously they're trying to make all these changes better for the game. You have to. Like, it's growing pains. Game is just too big now. And I was going to ask, like, where do you see Magic headed in the next year or two? Because we all know the Magic movie is coming out and God damn it, like, could the game get twice as big as it is now? And what would that do to the damn structure? Like,
I really hope so. So I think that Magic could get there. I think it's very close. I think that a lot of other games being put in that spotlight in recent times, even though they've been fads, has been extremely helpful. Things like Farmville and Angry Birds, you might look at them and think they're jokes or whatever, but that's people talking about a video game. If you look back, if you look 10 years ago, 20 years ago, you don't have, you know, 90% of the world knowing what Sonic the Hedgehog is, even though he was the most iconic video game character at the time. Like, that just doesn't exist. Now you have a small purchase for $3 game and everybody's talking about it. There's news stories weekly about it. There's print stories about it weekly about Angry Birds. Like,
Angry Birds, Flappy Birds. How about how about the shit version that people know? Like, that's what blows my mind. Angry Birds had a budget. A guy programmed Flappy Bird as a joke and that got national CNN coverage when it was taken off the Apple Store. Like, what the fuck is going on in this world? Hell, a guy takes a picture of pointing a guy's ass. Like, here's what's crazy. A guy takes a picture of a guy's ass with his finger to it and says, "Hey, man, magic." And this is the biggest magic story of 2014? Wow. Yeah. Like, I mean, the game's growing, obviously, to a point where, mainstream media is absolutely paying attention to it.
I literally saw on Twitter today somebody posted it. This is a Magic the Gathering motorcycle gas tank I just did. And it had it literally is a Harley gas tank. Fucking sweet-ass fucking art on it. It had, like, fucking Garrick with his fucking mask on. It had Jace the Mind Sculptor across the bottom of the tank. And it was like, wow, this is
No, but exactly. That's exciting to me. Like, we're at the forefront of this. Like, we are. I mean, you guys not really. You're kind of shitters, but I'm a personality in the game, so that's kind of
exciting. That's the thing. Is it like you? But we're guilty by association. You're a personality.
No, I don't really. I'm not going
to
talk to this.
And we no. You're going.
He's too big. He's too big. Just leave him alone, man.
I'm pretty sure you said this last time you were on this cast because apparently you're just not getting the press you deserve because you keep showing up on this podcast.
you SOS'd me on Twitter at 4:50 asking, "Oh, we need somebody to be on the cast with us." I don't even know why the group was me, Todd Anderson, and Chapin that you were sending an SOS to.
I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm just going to randomly fucking hit up some pros. And that says a lot about you, Conley, and we appreciate it more than you know, but it says a lot about you. Like, Chapin said no. Todd Anderson didn't get back to me, and you're like, "Hey, man, what time are you guys fucking recording?"
the only cool guy in Magic. That's all I'm gonna say.
Yeah, no shit.
Obviously,
right? Obviously. No, but like, do you feel like if, let's say, you know, Magic movie's a success? Well, actually, whether it's a success or not doesn't even matter.
That does matter to a degree. Yeah. If you look at the Battleship movie, like, nobody is talking about Battleship right now.
Nobody went.
Okay, Conley, look, I swear to God, because the Battleship movie flopped, I don't think everyone's like in Toys R Us, like throwing and burning Battleship games. Like,
no,
this
but
game
what I'm saying is,
sucks.
What I'm saying is, additional people didn't jump on board. Like, if the Magic movie is awesome, you get people word of mouthing, and you get the 85% of Rotten Tomatoes and shit like that. That will pay tenfold. You'll Harry Potter it up. Like, you'll turn it into a series. People will be interested in
it's
Magic.
It's the Marvel effect. Yeah.
Exactly.
We'll absolutely turn the Avengers. Yeah. If they do it right, and it is a gateway like Iron Man was for the Marvel Universe, and hopefully the people behind it are smart enough to do this, that there's a plan for a multi-picture franchise with it, and it does do reasonably well, yeah, like, we could be on a gigantic growth curve. You look at, like, no one even knew who the fucking Avengers were before Iron Man came out, and then it just goes and makes $2 billion. So, who knows? I mean, I have a fear that as we approach this mark, everything's gonna start to ramp up, and, you know, all this increased pressure on older formats, especially, I mean, financially, I don't know where the game goes. It might actually implode on itself in some of those older ones, but, just for the game, like, from a competitive standpoint for you, like, how many more people can a GP hold before it's just too much? Like,
man. They'll change it. They'll either, like, they'll be bringing enough revenue where they could turn it into a convention. Like, a convention, if you've ever been to a convention, a Gen Con or anything like that, they are substantially larger than a Grand Prix, like, 10 to 100 times the size. Like, I'm not even making that up. And if Magic got large enough to where you had, you know, film producers there doing their thing, and you have, you know, casting calls, let's say, something extreme like that. You have the toys,
video games,
et cetera. If you have all these different Magic-related stuff going on, you could actually just turn it into a Magic convention, take over a lot more of, like if you've ever been to a GP, there's always, like, you know, 3 to 20 open halls next to you. Like, it's never like that the place is completely packed or whatever. So just imagine that Magic started taking up 2 or 3 rooms or whatever. The Grand Prix would probably be broken up into flights or something along those lines, where you'd have a 3 to 4 day convention. Grand Prix would be inside 2 of those days. say the Saturday and Sunday or whatever, you would be able to join a flight maybe starting a couple different hours or something like that, and then they would, you know, for the day two, they would combine the flights and you'd move on from there. They could easily do that type of thing. I don't think Magic's quite large enough for them to afford that financially or for it to be reasonable or them to have enough vendors or enough interest in it yet, but it is getting very close. If you were at this last Pro Tour, they had a wheel that they were spinning, and I thought this was kind of epic. It was cool, but it also got very redundant and lame eventually. But basically, they would spin this wheel, and there would be like options on it, and whatever option landed on, the artists would draw that thing into the painting that they were making for the players at the end that you could like buy and stuff.
Yeah, I thought if they had just not done that as the gimmick, and just had like Steve Argyle, like actual the artist just painting real art, just to watch that alone, I thought would have been fantastic. Although I love that shit, so
they had that going on all weekend. Like, they could easily start expanding that type of stuff. They had art, like three or four artists live drawing the entire time. They always have like the lounge and stuff set up. And then at Grand Prix, if anybody's been to those, you obviously know there's all kinds of dealers and booths and stuff. Like, it's not that far from a convention. They could easily expand it, I think. And then in terms of like the number of people competing at the Pro Tour, I think that they would want to I don't know how they would do that. Maybe they would make PTQs feed into regional PTQs feed into like Grand Prix style PTQs or something if it got super large. I have no idea, but there's certainly methods for them to answer.
But how big does it get for you to say, fuck it, it's too long for me? Like, it's just too much for me to slog.
I mean, to be honest with you, I've thought about coming to that answer like in recent times just because of how much work I've taken on and stuff. But I would never leave the game completely. I would always
trying to stay on the Pro Tour is what.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I'm silver this year. I have one more Pro Tour guaranteed to me. And then I'm probably going to go into these regional PTQs and see how that goes. But, if I don't manage to somehow spike on the second Pro Tour, which would be a shame, but it's a possibility. At that point, I would certainly, value Grand Prix a little bit less. I'd be traveling a little bit less. My role in tournaments would certainly diminish, a bit, but I would still want to continue writing. I would still want to continue brewing and making videos and streaming more probably at that point. It would just, my focus would just shift to other areas, I think. But, being an active part of the Pro Tour is something I'd like to continue. I'd like to get a third top eight so I could possibly
That'd be awesome.
So I could possibly be considered for, you know, Hall of Fame talk at least. A fourth one.
Yes.
I would so vote you in, man.
Oh, Boz, you're in our Hall of Fame. You know that, right?
Yeah, you already win.
I still have, you know, 5 years before I'm eligible or whatever, through 4 years, something like that. But I would certainly like to get another couple top eights. That's something that would mean a lot to me. So I would like to keep competing at Pro Tours if able. But if the time comes where I have to kind of step away from that a little bit, I will probably just shift my focus in the game elsewhere.
So here's the thing, like, because I feel that you're one of the best streamers, especially when you do like your deck doctors and you break down. Because I actually don't think hardly anyone, maybe Frank Lepore kind of does it, but like where you would take someone's deck, play their deck, insult their deck, how stupid this idea is, but you'd play through and be like, I don't know what this guy's trying to do right here, but let's see, and then you would rebuild it. I thought those videos were like some of the best Magic content out there. Like, I thought it was great, so I would love to see you.
I'm thinking about restarting something like that. The biggest issue with it was the sorting. Like, basically, I would have to say, hey, send me decks, and that's okay, done. And like, No, and then people would send me decks, but I would get hundreds, sometimes thousands of decks. And going through them, not only going through them and even looking at, okay, this is what I might consider, this one I might consider, you get to 10 that you might consider, and now you have to weigh them against each other and figure out which one's the best. And, like, it gets to be a big process. So basically I need to come up with a way for like the community to somehow like choose a list or something, like vote on a list, some type of thing like that, where like people submit lists and then it gets like Reddited or something to where, you know, at the end of the week, the highest one is the one I work on or whatever. Like, I would be interested in doing something like that didn't have as much of the back work for it me. But basically I'm just so busy these days.
So what you're saying is you want an assistant. That, are you basically asking?
A website assistant?
Like, I'm pretty sure if we tweeted the SVU that, hey, Conley Wood needs someone to be his assistant, you'd have so many guys with their hands down their pants running up to you, you wouldn't even know. It would be epic.
I'll assist you!
I mean, I've never been one to, like, try to, like, push around people that, you know, enjoy me in that way. Like, that's not really, I don't think that's fair. Like, people
not
like
push
me
them around. They'll help you out, man.
Oh, dude. I know. I definitely appreciate the help.
But Conley, if you're paying them, if they're your assistant and you're paying them, like, of course you have to push them around.
Well,
it's
sure.
kind of part of the job.
That's fair.
Now he's like paying them. Wait, where did that come from? I thought this was pro bono the whole way. No, I was going to ask you, since the last time we talked to you, I know you'd gotten that job with Chapin and LSV, right? At the game studio?
Yeah, I'm still working there.
How's that going, man? Can you talk about it at all? I know last time you were like, I can speak of nothing, I cannot talk, and we were like,
well,
hopefully
I can speak of more now than I could then, but basically, we have a digital card game we're working on. That is what our company specializes in. We actually have multiple that we're working on. We have one that is being done completely in-house. Our artists we have our own artists. We have, you know, we're creating the storyline, we're creating the universe, we're creating everything. That one is a very big project that we've been working on for a while now. We're pretty excited about it, and it will hopefully be in some form of alpha slash beta by the end of the year. So that is exciting.
If you need original music for that, let me know.
Okay.
As the beer cans get knocked over in the background, that's the best ever. Hey, man. No, I was going to say, so is this going to be something like app-based or client-based? Or obviously, you probably can't even talk about that.
Yeah, I cannot really talk about that, but we do have products that we make for both Apple or for iPad platform type stuff. And for PC stuff.
Just digital, or is it
paid? Our company is 100% digital, yes.
Oh, okay. Wow. I'm excited. I mean, I've seen, obviously, Hearthstone, sure, and, you know, Kibler's stuff. Yeah. Really seems to be – actually,
this is a little bit different than those.
Oh, I wasn't comparing it to what you were going to do. I was just saying, like, the state of the game is that, like, you'd hope they were really going to light a fire under Wizards of the Coast's ass. Like, hey, man, check this out. And it's so depressing hearing comments come from them being like, yeah, we don't really consider them a threat. So I'm just hoping, man. I want someone to come and just wreck shop. And, hey, man, let's kick it up a notch here. Let's see.
Yeah,
some...
I mean, I think our game, I think a lot of people are going to like our game. I think it has a lot of awesome things going for it. We also have a couple other projects we're working on that are also very awesome. People will like them. They're not as, you know, they're not in-house to the point where they're our game, but there are games that we're working on with other people that we're very excited about. Those should be coming out very soon too, at least in alpha slash beta forms. Once those things happen, we'll be able to talk about a lot more about them. We'll be able to stream them potentially, you know, have conversations with people, and it'll be a lot more exciting for us. Right now, basically, because the products aren't finished yet, we can't really disclose much.
Kinda,
it's like making a movie. It's like making a movie, you know. Three years, you're in the hole, you're just working away, can't say nothing. Your baby will be born one day. Then you can come on and say, check this motherfucking shit out. And we're going to be like,
right now you're like, oh, it's a boy.
I was going to say, though, Conley, like, what do you think about what, I guess, V4? Like, I guess I haven't talked to you about, like, how you've seen the new client and, like, because, you know.
Yeah, not a huge, no. I mean, I think overall it's probably an improvement from the last one. However, it is not as much of an improvement as people would have liked. Also, there are some areas in which it is not an improvement at all, and that is frustrating. For example, streaming became significantly more difficult. I just discovered this the other night when I did my first V4 stream. It was just like, You can't do screen capture or window capture anymore because it has pop-ups. Like, the whole client is just pop-ups. Everything is. A new chat is a pop-up. A new game starting is a pop-up. A new trade is a pop-up. Everything is new windows. So you can't do window capture because they're all new. So you have to do full screen capture, which means that, like, you can't be, you know, tweeting at the same time, going on the background without your viewers seeing it or things like that. It also means that you have to have a more condensed screen. So basically the images are smaller, you have less workspace when building decks and stuff like that because you have to shrink it to a certain amount. I'm gonna get a desktop soon.
Dual monitor.
Yeah, well, I do everything off of a laptop right now. Okay. Literally everything. My recording, my streaming, everything.
Me too.
But I'm gonna get a desktop soon so that way I can have a little more workspace and try to improve that way. I just got a new microphone, a Blue Yeti.
I saw. Very nice.
Which I'm excited for. So that should help my streaming and recording a little bit too. So I'm trying to step it up on my own end because I've been slacking a little bit with just a little bit of pressure and stress from other things. But I'm gonna try to get back on the horse and kick things up because I'd like you were talking about magic. Magic's getting bigger, and so I would like to, you know, be one of the people to usher in all these new friends and fans.
All these new.
Yes, you have to be that guy.
What are you doing right now? Anyways, like, are you on like 12 podcasts or something? And you're everywhere, dude.
I'm not on 12. I'm just on one podcast, and unfortunately, I haven't been doing it much just because of work. Of how busy I've been. But yeah, I mean, I write for two different websites. I record videos for Channel Fireball still. I have a regular full time 9-to-6 day job where I do game design. That's what we just discussed. And then, yeah, I do a podcast for MTG Potpourri. On top of all that, plus I'm probably the leading deck builder / innovator of Team TCG Player, which means that whenever the Pro Tour is approaching, I have to put a lot of effort into coming up with deck ideas for the team to kind of critique and wade through. So it gets a little tense at times, a little bit of a burden, but at the same time, I also try to – use my free time to have fun and relax. Like, I like to play League of Legends a lot, and I like sleep. So
I like sleep.
I don't sleep nearly as much as you. I get 6 hours a night as my
favorite. Oh, my God, 6 hours. I would not function as a human.
I go to bed at 2 a.m. I wake up at 8 a.m. every day.
Holy shit. I do that, at times.
I know. That's why on weekends I usually catch up a little bit and get like 8 or 9 hours. But yeah, my weekdays, I just don't have time. Like right now I'm doing a podcast. I got home an hour and a half ago. I'll get off the podcast with you guys at 9, go eat dinner. And then I have to record a video after that, which so that'll probably end about midnight. And then I could go to bed immediately and have done nothing fun. I mean, the podcast obviously was fun, but I could go to bed immediately afterwards, or I could like play a game of League of Legends. And then all of a sudden it's 1 a.m. and then you just lay down for bed and then, you know.
Yeah, do yourself a favor. Don't add a wife to that. I love my wife with everything I have, but don't add a wife to that because you don't get that kind of time anymore.
I wouldn't mind it. I've been single for a little too long now.
I get that, and it'll be one of those things where it's like, oh wait, where the hell did Conley go? Oh, Conley got married. I get it.
My female luck has not been the greatest as of recently, but.
That's okay. Yep. We got potions for that.
Yeah.
We can hook you up, man.
I got plenty. I'm in Colorado. I'm good.
Okay. Oh, yeah. You're the shit now. How is that going out there? Is it as crazy as I've heard?
I mean, I wouldn't call it crazy. Like, crime rates are dropped dramatically, obviously, because there's no petty drug crimes. I mean, all the dispensaries that exist now basically existed beforehand. They were just medical then, and now they're recreational now, so it's not like they took over in terms of how much space they're occupying or anything like that. And I don't know. I think it's been pretty chill overall. I haven't had any problems. I mean, you know, I have a bigger problem with people driving while texting than I do with driving while smoking, even though I don't condone driving while smoking. But, like, if I see a dude paying attention to the road with a blunt in his mouth versus a random woman looking down at her phone, like, yeah. I'm going to want to drive next to the guy 100% of the time. I like,
yeah, you're like, hey, man.
He's actually trying. Like, he knows in his mind, he's just like, I should probably.
Yeah, he's probably going 5 miles under the speed limit. Yeah. And he's probably sitting up in his chair. Like,
he's got his blinker on.
I don't condone that. Obviously, you should not be intoxicated and driving in any way, shape, or form.
No matter what.
But in terms of like that being a huge concern prior to people who are like, oh, everyone's going to be driving while stoned, I haven't noticed it. I don't know. I think that it's been It's been pretty good for the state in terms of taxes. We have we have an abundant flow of income at this point. Too much to do to know what to do with. So
we've got too much money coming in. We don't know what to do anymore.
Man, I've always said, stop taxing my ass and just make that shit legal, because I'd rather have lower taxes and deal with stoners than have no stoners. Well, if they're getting stoned anyways, they're still gonna find ways to do the shit. It's just like, oh my god, I'm all for that.
Well, and the funny part was, right after it became legal, there was a huge rush, and basically everybody got bought out, and they were like, oh no, like, this is
we're out of weed.
What's gonna what could we possibly do?
And then California,
like,
help.
And then people are like, you guys know it's a plant, right? You could just, like, grow more. And they're like, oh, we'll grow more. And then they did that. And then come May, it was all good to go. And
everybody was fine.
That was straight out of The Simpsons, right?
It's just like, what are we going to do? It's like,
grow more. Yeah, that guy for mayor. That's his platform. Just grow more. Just grow more, people.
Come on, man.
I like it.
What do you think of cons so far, man? I haven't seen much.
I think Khan's a pretty cool dude. I mean, he's like really handsome. He's pretty smart.
He's pretty beefy looking.
I thought he should have been in the From the Vault, you know, Wraths, basically, but yeah. No.
No, I mean, I don't like the names of the tribe things.
At all.
I think they're poopy. Like, see, here's the thing.
Poopies.
Grixis was not the best sounding name at first, and I've kind of come around on it, but it's still kind of like one of the worst ones. But the awesome thing about the Shards names is they all kind of felt different, unique, and sort of like the thing they were doing. Like, Naya sounds like a jungle to me. Like, I think of, like, Jungle Book characters when I think of Naya.
Like, they're also, like, one-syllable names.
Exactly.
Like,
you have Esper. Esper's like, oh, well, that's kind of interesting. Like, that's an intriguing name. What could that possibly be? Oh, Blue, White, Black? I totally buy it. Machinery, smart people, cool. Awesome. Mm-hmm. What is Jund? That sounds really harsh and, like, kind of rocky and what? Oh, it's dragons and, you know, whatever. That makes sense, too. Like, the Bant even sounds like very, like, law ordery type thing. Like, they just feel, like, right. And all the new names, like, if one of the new shards or wedges, I guess they are, was named after a tribe, I'd be cool. If it was just, like, I don't know, what is
the ancient one, whatever. Jeska.
Yeah, Jeskai, whatever. If it was just Jeskai and then the other four were like other things, it'd be fine. But they all sound tribal to me. They all sound like I don't even know which one Jeskai is. I don't know which one, you know.
It doesn't stand out at all. It's just like a bunch of syllables that they put together. They're like, this isn't actually a word yet.
Like, I'll learn them, and I'll probably use them occasionally. But, like, you know, I'm not going to call whatever the blue, green, black one is over bug. I'm going to say bug still. I'm going to say rug still.
Really? Like, so you're not going to, like, call up LSV and say, I totally got this great idea for this new Team Jeska deck.
No, I'm going to say I got a rug guy.
exactly.
That's why Jund is caught on. Like, you know, people say Boros because it's, I don't know, it's very succinct or whatever, and yet you don't necessarily say Simic decks. Like, you say blue-green or aggro or blue-green madness. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I think the names are a little
even out of just the, like, the two color, like the Ravnica fucking guilds. Like, there's certain ones that caught on, certain ones that don't. You say black white, you don't say Orzhov. Like,
nobody says Golgari anything.
Yeah.
Like, check out my Golgari deck, guys. Yeah. Get out here. That's a dredge deck.
Well, the people that do that, at least that you know what you're getting into. So
that's true.
The funny thing will be when
they usually have the shirt on and a pin that all have
gold
on them.
With their
Vraska tattooed on their forehead.
With their little Fumco Garrick. Do you mind if he holds my dice and will we play? No, I was going to say, like, it's going to be funny when the Pro Tour comes around and you have all the coverage team ramming all those, like, names. I can't wait to hear Rich Hagon be like, all right, everyone, we have LSV playing this incredible new Team Jeska deck, and he's just going to go crazy at it. They're just going to ram it down our throats. It's going to be just like, okay, guys, I get it. I get you like the set, man. I get it. But stop. Just please. Let us. I think we need time with them. I mean, my first guttural reaction is kind of like what yours was, where it's like, these sound like shampoo names or tick collar for my dog, like medicine, Mardu for my dog. It's like, I don't get it, but maybe we just need time with it and we'll, I don't know.
I guess just like everything else that happens in the Magic community, we're just like, oh, this is terrible. And then you get used to it.
Not everything. Not everything.
That's true. Well, not everything.
Not everything. Some stuff we like.
Very, you know, yeah, some stuff we like. Some stuff we don't. I get that.
Well, Conley, before you go, I had a few questions from the Twitterverse. They wanted me to pass on to you and see what you'd if you would grace us with your answers on them.
All right. Did you just get these over the last hour?
Yeah, they're in and around.
Well, some of them are like just flat out random questions we got throughout the day too. I think some of those will be more fun for Conley. Right. Like the ones that would, like, nobody had any idea Conley was going to be on the cast. They're just like, hey, what do you guys think about this?
Sure. Well, I'll start out with an easy one then. So what card do you feel, or what mythic do you feel at an M14 is breakable? Anything brewable in there M15. For you?
It has to be a mythic specifically?
Well, obviously, you know, they're looking for mythics and rares. The splashy cards.
I already built around Necromancer's stockpile and played it in a Pro Tour. What does this person want from me?
They want the Brewer back. They want the guy that had, like, five decks ready to go.
I was playing a bunch on my stream, actually, of different decks. I had three or four different decks. What are some other ones? I think Spirit Bonds is extremely strong and probably build-aroundable. I think that all the souls have some potential, but I'm not too certain. I think Chain Veil is probably very build-aroundable. We just have to have the right planeswalkers. I don't know if we do have those as of right now, but any new set could easily – I mean, yeah, to be fair, the new set's going to drop the number of planeswalkers dramatically because you're losing a full block, so it'll be tough then. But I do think the Chain Veil could potentially be playable at some point in time. Obviously, Nissa is very strong. I don't think we've even seen the best use out of her.
Yep.
Yet I think that in general M15 is very strong in terms of its rares and mythics, in the fact that you can build around them. Aggressive Mining is a card I'm very excited about. I think that Karametra aggressive Mining is a decent deck right now. I wrote about that one a couple weeks ago, probably a month ago, but Karametra is an unplayable rare from Theros, and now in Aggressive Mining is an unplayable rare from M15, and together they
they make an unplayable deck.
they form Table Salt.
They form salt. Garbage. You know the card that I was just talking earlier in the cast before he came on is Chasm Stalker.
Oh yeah, I just wrote about him for TCG Player.
Yeah, and that card just in early testing, I was playing with Scotty, and we were just like we're blown away, like in a blue white control shell.
Yeah,
where you're drawing cards, and then even if you're like, oh shit, I got a Supreme Verdict the board, okay, well,
I think
you got to deal with 1/1s.
I think Chasm Skulker is one of the secret standouts in the set that we won't start seeing play until after Ravnica rotates. You do have cards like Silence of Believers that will pick up play, and that will kind of put a damper on this guy, but all Detention Sphere leaves, which is huge, because that's one of the few ways to like kill this guy and leave him with nothing. But I think this card's awesome. I've been playing it in the Whispering Madness deck I wrote about on TCG Player. If you're interested in Notion Thief, Whispering Madness, Waste Not deck, go check that out. That's another rare I think is reasonable as Waste Not. But Chasm Skulker in that deck is just absurd. You just play him. Even if you don't even have any other draw spells going on, he just sits there a turn after turn and gets a little bit bigger. And then before you know it, he's a 4/4, and they're like, like a Gemisium Waters at, I guess,
then deal with 4/1/1.
Yeah, or 3/1/1s. But yeah, But it's a card that I think is worth playing, worth protecting. Like you could easily just play this guy and sit back with a few counter spells, and it's probably going to pay off. But I expect he'll probably see play once rotation happens.
What do you think about that card in Modern? Because I look at like a Delver, Snapcaster, and then counters, and like so many cards in Modern in blue, like Remand throws draw a card on it, Cryptic Command. Like
at the same time, you get less turns in Modern, I would say.
Yeah.
Like you have to kill people. You have to establish the game to the point where you know who the winner is going to be, usually by turn 5. Obviously, there's exceptions to that, but Chasm Skulker really is like a 1/1 to a 3/3 in that turn 5 range. So while I agree that like Remands and stuff, like if there was Preordain and Ponder, well then you should be playing combo. But assuming there's Preordain and Ponder and combo is banned out somehow, then Chasm Skulker becomes a lot more attractive because it's like, oh, I played this, I untapped and it was a 5/5 because I played 4 cantrips in that turn. Like that's pretty exciting to me, but there's not really the way to do that, like, and have
Potassium Probe.
I mean, you certainly play probe with this guy. Yeah. You want to play this guy and probe on the same turn just to make him 2-2.
Yeah, it just feels like maybe if there was a way to get him out earlier or hold up all the counter magic for whatever the other player is doing and just, like, keep beating with this guy while they're trying to land their bomb or go off and you're just like, okay, he's bigger now. And
This is probably best in, like, a Aether Vial deck just because, like, paying 3 mana for this is a little annoying. Yeah. Just protecting it is very difficult because it costs 3 mana. That's why, like, Delver of Secrets is so good. Mm-hmm. You play it, even on turn 3 you play it, and it's like, okay, you're going to kill this, and I'm going to have 2 counterspells or a remand or something to protect it. This guy, if you're waiting until turn 5 to play him with counter backup, then he's kind of defeating himself.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think about Genesis Hydra?
It's fine. I don't think it's, like that great. I think it's reasonable. Yeah. Cruel Sadist is better. That card comes above it. I think a card is actually very playable and standard.
Really?
It's very good against Master Waves. In testing for the Pro Tour, I've tried multiple decks where we had 2 of it in the main deck, including Mono Black Aggro. It actually can't, I mean, it's a 1-mana 2-2. It takes a turn to, like, set up or whatever, but it's effectively a 1-mana 2-2. And then the thing is it gets bigger when it's just facing down a Mutavault, then it becomes a 3-3. Like, it actually does some decent work. So I would not count that card out as of yet.
Now here's a question, because we did get this spoiled, which was obviously we got Morph back in cons, and we have that new Morph creature. What is it? The Wind card that when it flips up, it bounces all the cards back to the graveyard or library.
Bounces tap guys back to the
graveyard. Bounces tap guys. But like, what do you think Morph is going to impact Standard? Like, it feels like, wow, that is going to just make things crazy.
I'm not worried about Morph and Standard shouldn't be a big deal. There'll probably be 3 to 7 playable Morph creatures in Constructed. That's the way it was in Onslaught. So, like, when you ran up against a white deck and they played a Morph, you weren't like, what could it possibly be? You said, fuck, I have to deal with that Exalted Angel. I'm going to die. Yeah. That's, you knew what it was. You just had to deal with it. So, I mean, The Pickles deck was a little bit of an exception because they had 3 to 4 different Morphs in that deck. But at the same time, those are really the only Morphs seeing play in the entire format. Like, it's not like other decks were running Morphs. It was like that deck ran 3 or 4 of them and no other deck touched it. So in that deck, you did have to kind of like usually be like, which one's the what's Brine Elemental and which one's the Willbender, like that type of stuff. But I don't expect to see a combo between Morph cards like that. So I would expect most decks that play Morphs will play 1 or 2. So you're not going to have the guessing game. But Morphs, where they really shake things up, is Limited. And it's like one of the most intense limited mechanics ever in terms of like skill testing. And it's just a very interesting mechanic when it comes
You have no idea what's there. And you have no way to know what's there.
I found Convoke to be very cool in M15 Limited. Like, wow. Just to not know, you know. Like, there's so many things that they could have. It's like one guy open, but 3 mana. Like, what the fuck do they have on there? I just wonder, like, are we going to see any type of blink effects to, like, cheat Morph guys into play? Or are they going to probably be really careful not to give us that shit?
Oh, I'm sure there's going to be some blink effects. Yeah. There usually are, but it depends on, like, like, you know, if they cost 4 or 5 mana, that's not a big deal. But we'll see.
Do you have any other predictions you think that we're going to see at a cons? Fetch lands? Any crazy shit like that or no?
No, I kind of gave up. First of all, I don't think there'll be fetch lands. I would be very surprised. I don't know. I think that the speculating is fun for some people, but it's also just kind of a waste of brain space for me because it doesn't really matter. Like, you know, I'm playing at the Pro Tour that is Cons of Tarkir regardless of what is in this set. I'm not going to, like, you know, unless they print some Planeswalker who, like, Tibble the racist god or something and, like, all of his abilities, like, demean entire cultures, I'm pretty sure I'm not going to protest the Pro Tour and not show up. So
I think you would be the first guy to say, I got to break this. There's got to be a way to break this guy. I'm going to make him love people.
That's true. So I'm showing up the Pro Tour regardless, so kind of like trying to guess what's in it. I don't speculate in terms of buying or selling cards. That's something I probably could have made a fortune doing by now. Like, just basically buy every single card I ever write an article about and then sell it immediately after for a small profit. But I've just never been interested in, like, wasting my time or energy doing that. It's just not fun for me.
Right.
And I'm not, like, you know, scraping
greedy
for money or anything like that. So in terms of, like, speculating which and cons, like, it's fun for people. That's fine. I'm not really interested in it is the way I just can sum that up.
Yeah, I wasn't necessarily saying for speculation, just more in terms of, like, man,
I don't
have any
predictions, like, there are plenty of things Modern needs. There's plenty of things Legacy needs. That's always – hopefully WotC is keeping those things in mind. But in terms of Standard, because an entire block is rotating out and a core set with it, I can't really say what Standard needs because I don't know what Standard needs because it's kind of a new thing.
Yeah,
so,
it's gonna be new.
So we'll just have to wait and see.
So let me ask you a question then. Obviously, we have no idea what these special end of May – GPs are going to be that they released, and everyone kind of feels like something in Las Vegas is going to go down. Maybe Modern Masters.
I don't know about Vegas, but I'm pretty sure it will be Modern Masters tournaments. I don't know if it'll be Vegas again, but it will definitely be.
You think Modern Masters 2 is it then?
Or whatever their equivalent is, like the special set. It might not be Modern Masters, but it'll be a special set that is limited only to these three Grand Prix around the world or whatever.
It makes you wonder, like, you know, they decided to take Modern off the Pro Tour, and they're like, well, we're doing it because we're giving them Modern Masters 2. Like, sure feels like it. If it is, are you coming?
Well, I mean, I came to the last one. I'll definitely be there. It's Vegas. Like, I'm not going to miss an opportunity to go to Vegas. I actually had pretty good time the last one, despite, like, effectively 0-2 dropping. I think I went 1-2. My pool was the worst, like... I could not ever beat the bombs I was facing. Like, it was just bomb after bomb because everybody had just insane decks. Like, not only were the insane decks very synergy driven, but they would always just have like two unbeatable rares in them. It was a very tough format for not having a good pool, and my pool was awful. So as soon as I picked up my second loss, I literally just dropped. I did not want to.
Oh yeah,
I try to squeak out the last six rounds for another, you know, six wins, and then see what happened.
The worst is when you pass your pool of like two swords to someone. You're like, oh, well, good luck with that. You're gonna go smash my face in now. Oh, we're paired up in game one. Sweet. And I got nothing.
Or you just leave with those.
You
should never, ever, 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 for basically any reason, drop from a Grand Prix that you have entered.
Kevy.
By any reason, do you mean I'm completely hungover and Maddie paid my entry fee?
Oh, well, that's different. You didn't pay for it. But basically, if you are making a commitment to pay your $40, sit down and win a tournament, commit to that.
Never ever fucking leave.
Like, if you've lost or whatever, feel free to drop. If you're sick or something like that, feel free to drop. But don't look at your rares and then go, oh, I can make $40 off my entry fee, I'm dropping. Because that means that you were, like, you were in that tournament for $40
worth
of value.
Horrible EV.
Not even horrible EV, but you're there for the money, which is just bad. It just says
what's the worst that can happen? You do bad in the first couple rounds and then you're fucked. Like, you're all right.
Then you drop and you head home with your whatever new pool you got. Like, you don't even know. You, for all you know, the new pool you get could be worth more than your $80 that you saw or whatever. I don't know. It to me, whenever I've seen anybody drop like for foil mocks or whatever, it's just like you could literally like take the Grand Prix entry that you spent and whatever your new pool is, sell those cards and then like buy that foil mock for yourself. And whereas you can never play this Grand Prix again in your life. Like, this Grand Prix is a once in a lifetime opportunity.
Yeah, and you could have also just put the damn expensive card in a sleeve and not play it.
You know,
and still play the rest of your pool.
Sure.
But for a lot of the new people that follow us on Twitter, I always try to pick someone new I haven't seen before, and I'm gonna blow this dude's pants off because I'm going to ask this question to you right now. So Corey Adams at Knife City asks, question for the cast, if you could have Wizards add anything to cons, excluding reprints, what would it be?
Ooh, that one's hard. I saw that in a
cons.
That you want to see.
Excluding reprints?
Yeah, not
different
reprints.
Names for the fucking
the moxes, but names different. No, I think what
just,
I want to see
is just different names for the clans. Just like a we're just kidding.
We're just kidding. I think what I would love to see is based on the flavor. I'd love to see fortifications. So like some type of land. or the ability to enchant a land, or maybe the land turns into a fortification that, like, pumps your guild. That would be what I'd like to see. I think that'd be cool.
That's actually...
I think about my questions, Kevin.
I'm table, Maddie.
Thank you.
Yeah, I don't.
Conley, what about you?
I think I would like to see a X-based sweeper of some sort, either in red or black, to shift the
not in black.
The board sweeper. No, it could be black. That's fine. I'm just saying that it just shift the board sweeper from white to one of those two colors for a little while, just to mix things up. I think people get a little too comfortable with control being a blue-white strategy, and it does not always have to be that way. Right. Black has card advantage these days, as we've seen with Mono Black Devotion. It was very much a control deck in its inception, and it's kind of shifted to more of an aggressive thing over time.
100% agree with that.
But, yeah, so I would probably like to see something like that, even if it's, like, obviously Mutilate's off the table because that's a reprint, but anything like that, like, you know, black X, all creatures get -X, -X, whatever, like, Black Sunseen style is, like, totally fine, I think. Just something to give a way to wipe the board to one of those two colors. Also, I wouldn't mind seeing some cheap tempo spells that we haven't seen since basically Vapor Snag. Most of the cheap tempo spells have been kind of gone. I don't necessarily want to see them in blue, to kind of, like I said, shift things up a little bit, but I would like to see kind of some aggressive, tricky decks like Blue-Green Madness, that style of deck. We haven't seen it in a little while, and I would like to see, you know, it get a little bit of loving.
Right. What about you, Kevy?
I don't know.
I was like, I don't know.
I told you, like different names for the not the gills, the fucking the wedges, whatever.
You know what the one thing I would love to see is, I feel like green, while they get a lot of ramp, you know, we're getting creatures, and they did start to bring fight, which is, I guess, how they're handling removal, which is cool, and I get it, it's very flavorful, I like it. But I would love to see green get the ability to turn permanents into forests. And I just think it would be exactly what green wants. It can be a little expensive, but just the ability to say, hey, that planeswalker, bam, it's now forest.
Like, or like four mana target permanent becomes a forest.
Yeah. Or like, yeah, like grow under, so like just the a way to deal with things that gives green a little more reach. Like, I feel like you know, when you're building decks, it's like, well, green I'm playing because I need mana fixing or ramp. And I would love to see just, like, fight is cool. I'd like to see fight pushed a little further so that we could actually have some more interaction. But then the ability to just take care of something, you know, by turning it into a forest, which is kind of neat because you've mana ramped them. So it's kind of like, well, I gave them something. You know, I thought that would be cool. Mm-hmm. And then if they destroy the enchantment effect or whatever it is, well, they get their thing back. But I think that would be kind of neat, like maybe moving that away from white and giving a little bit to green, if I had to fool with the color play.
I wouldn't mind seeing another combo deck, too. We haven't seen a standard combo deck in a little while.
It's been, yes.
Like, the last one, I think, was Splinter Twin, which was three or four years ago now. But generally, standard combos don't happen all that often. But when they do happen, they're usually pretty exciting and pretty tame. Mm-hmm. Like, Project X, for example, was very exciting, but not, like, dominating. When they happen to the extent of Dragonstorm, that was kind of impressive. But nobody wants that to happen. But I wouldn't mind seeing, like, a tier 1.5, tier 2 combo deck that, you know, people are actually comfortable playing come out of the new set. That'd be cool.
They are so scared of combo, though, in standard.
Just I know, but so the thing scared. Is, it's like it's one of the things that makes Magic unique. It's one of the things that people love about Magic. Like, there's always talk about, you know, what's better, Hearthstone or Magic? And it's like, Magic has a lot of positives and a lot of negatives compared to Hearthstone, but, like, one of the things that has always kind of defined Magic is this, my combo decks abuse resources that other people need to take advantage of, and because resources are generic in Hearthstone, everybody always has the same amount of things, the combos in Hearthstone are like, I just want to do a billion damage to you in one turn, but in Magic it's like, look how much mana I cheated, or look how expensive this creature is that I got for one mana, or look how many cards I drew for this much, or, like, they're all, like, different kind of exciting ways to go, haha, I did something better than you, and I think that, like, that demographic
alternate
player,
path to victory, path to victory, absolutely.
Exactly. That demographic of player, like, is an important part of Magic, and I would like to see them kind of stay interested, if you will. Because in Modern, they always have plenty of choices, but in Standard, it's like, you know, play the Mono Black Devotion deck, because that's the good thing.
Nice.
Yeah, this is what you have to do.
All right, we got a couple more. We got Nick Swan. Swan Nichols asks, what equipment card or what equipment artifact card do you wish you had in real life? And if you had to live in a land card, what card? Wow. This is like some weird trippy question. This is Conley. Yeah. What equipment artifact card do you wish you had in real life?
Probably... I don't even know. Something gives me flying. Probably like Nurok Hover Seal. I just want to have like a sweet thing that flies me around.
Oh, you just want to be like the Avatar, man. Sweet.
Yeah, well, like, I don't need to get bigger. Like, +6/+6 doesn't do anything for me.
I don't need to be bigger. I'm big enough.
Right? Well, no, like, what am I going to do if, like, I'm a... Let's,
what about Swift
let's
boots,
assign,
man?
Let's assign okay. me a size, right? I'm okay, a 5'5 sure. for 5, right?
Yes.
What is +6/+6 do for me in the average human world? What does an 11/11 human do in an office with other humans? Like, I'm not screaming at people. I'm not intimidating them.
Humans.
Like, well, ask Matt Tabak. He'll tell you.
If I get hit by a bus, I might survive, but I don't expect to get hit by a bus. So I'll just take the flying, the cheapness of it. I'll re-equip to all my children really cheaply while you guys struggle paying your mana cost debts. And yes. it'll be like having my own private jet. It'll be perfect. That's what I want. In terms of what land I want, I have to think about that.
No, I don't.
Cloud Post.
Oh, very nice. I think I would have to probably pick Erebus the Binding Blade so I could turn into a giant demon whenever I wanted to if someone pissed me off.
Yeah, I don't know, though. Like, I don't think it, like, Elbrus, like, I thought about that, and I don't know that you just get to do it whenever
that's
you...
not the way it works. It doesn't turn the creature into a demon. It turns into a demon.
Okay, well then...
Which means you would have a demon, which means you'd probably be dead.
Oh, no, he would do my bidding, wouldn't he?
I don't know.
I'll take that bid, man. We'll see what happens.
When a player loses the game.
When I die, because I've made a deal with Erebus the Binding Blade. Yeah, that's very true. I guess the land I would live in would be frickin'... Oh, you know where I'd live in? Nyx.
Some
there you go.
Non-Cloud Post area.
Yeah, I'd live in Rupture Spire.
Shit is.
You could live in the Glimmer Post.
I'll live in Evolving Wilds. How about that?
That's a shitty place to live.
Tectonic Edge. I'm gonna live in the Ghost Quarter, man, with all the fucking ghosts. No, I think I would live in Nyx, man. I'd live with the gods. What about you, Kevy?
Really?
Yeah, man.
Oh, god damn it. Like, I feel like I just want to go with, like, I'm sorry, I don't mean to be cheap with this, but I want to go with, like, my equipment. Like, I got to have the sort of body in mind. Like, I just want to make wolves. I want to be able to make wolves at will. Like, really, does that not sound like fun? Like, some people are fucking with you? Like, you're walking down the road.
Well, you don't really get to make them at will. Let's be clear here. You have to first deal combat damage to an opponent, which means you need to walk up.
Yeah, so if I'm walking down the road... If I'm walking down the road with a gigantic sword that is, like, glowing blue and green.
You're going to kill somebody so you can get a wolf?
No, he could walk up to someone, just punch him in the face, and then boom, a wolf pops out. Like, that would be unbelievable.
But yeah, exactly. And there's also the fact that, like, it just is it's opponent. Like, so, I mean, in everyday life, like, anybody could be an opponent. So he's just fucking,
all right, well,
you know,
I still
punch
this,
somebody.
I don't think you thought this through, because I'd like to ask you, what the real-life implementation of Mil 10 is? What happens to that individual now?
No,
you punch
literally.
Them. Do they lose their life? Do they just get 10 years off their life?
No. I was just going to save the Mil 10 for, like, when I'm actually playing Magic. Rounds, like when I'm actually playing Magic.
It doesn't work like that. When you do a combat, it is not a May. You must go 10, and you get a wolf.
I think Kevin would
right,
probably.
So, I'm going 10.
I think that's probably one of he could be the top act in Vegas. You know, like coming this summer, the man who can make wolves pop out of nowhere. He'd be rich.
It wouldn't be nowhere. He had to punch old ladies.
So you're like, hey, Gladys, come up on stage. Bam! A wolf pops out. Boom! And people are like, oh my god, that was insane.
Those wolves better keep a lawsuit off of it.
Like, at what point does this just become like I'm surrounded by a pack of wolves? And
yeah, where do the wolves go? Hey, the ACB, the Wildlife Canada is like, hey man, just send those wolves back to the north.
It's like when a magician like turns something into birds and they fly off. Your wolves just like run off and they just disappear and never be seen again.
And then they die from starvation somewhere. Oh, that's sad.
I'm an asshole. Yeah,
you're an asshole, Kevin. You're hurting all those wolves.
Calling animal control on me. Oh, God damn it.
All right, last question for the evening. In honor of Scott, the Booze Cube himself, and this is quite a humorous topic, or maybe not. Maybe it's actually a very serious topic. I don't know how he's phrased this, but he says the MTG movie is successful enough for Vivid to make a porn parody. What scenarios do we see, and what is the title of this film?
Oh, God. I can't even.
Oh, come on.
What titles do we see?
The Bone Walkers? Or the Plane Boners?
No.
The Plane Boners!
Jace the Butt Sculptor. I mean... I mean, I'm sorry if I'm going to say it. Like, my scenario has got to be Lily and Chandra going at it with Tybalt watching in the closet. That's just
No.
I think it would be based off of real magic cards, and it would be called Jace's Bone Flute. That's a real magic card.
Jace's Bone Flute?
Well, no, Jace is a real magic card.
Oh, playing
a flute. It's a real, yeah.
I thought it would just be the didgeridoo, or is that the black version? Ooh, I like that.
It's not even black.
I'm literally not going to touch this one.
That's what she said.
Yeah, Conley's like, I have shit that I have to do in the morning that involves actual companies.
He's like, hey, guys, remember I said I have fun? This isn't it. So I'm out of here.
I don't even know, I feel ill-prepared for this one. I saw that fucking question earlier, and I didn't give it enough thought. And I feel like now I could give it enough thought if we just sat here in silence for a good 30 minutes. And then I was like, let's see.
Do you want me to just cue the Jeopardy music right now?
No, there's got to be something good that's got to come out of this fucking community for a porno.
Hey, you got a vents or blinking shit all over? Don't blink, Ben, sir. I don't want to get it in your eyes. Like,
No.
Did I go there? Hey, man, he said porn movie. I'm trying to come up with shit.
And granted, porn movie, like, plots and titles are often very fucking cheesy. But my mind's drawing.
Didn't Garrick and Liliana already do this movie in Innistrad? Like, pretty sure we had two cards that pissed off half the community. There you go, Scott. What was it called? Garrick's Revenge and Lily.
No, it was Triumph of Ferocity.
There's the name of the movie right
there. That's the name of the movie, Triumph of Ferocity.
Triumph of Ferocity. And in Garrick's wake. In Garrick's cum shot.
All right, there you go. Now you're on the right track, Matty.
Yeah, there you go. I fixed it all because I brought in a zombie giant. Oh, there. That's just weird. I don't want to go there, boys. Well, I think, in all honesty, Conley...
Not even done yet.
Are you even going to think of something, or there's no way, Kevin?
No, I'm really trying to.
Okay. Portland's damaged your brain.
It did. No, it literally did. Conley, how'd you do in Portland?
My team... I would have liked to come hang out with the SVU crew.
Yeah, that didn't happen.
No, I tried. So here's what ends up happening. I tell everyone throughout the entire day and the day before, I was like, hey, we have an invite to go to this house. It's going to be awesome. There's plenty of party materials of all varieties. We should go. Here's the reasons, blah, blah, blah. Have the address. Everything's good. Then day two of the tournament's happening. It's, you know, ending. Our teammates are finishing up whatever. I'm rounding everybody up. And I'm like, hey, here's this thing we should go do. And everyone's like, oh, we want to have dinner first. And I'm like, okay, that's reasonable. And then dinner turns into now there's 20 people all wanting to do different things. There's a bar crawl wanting to be had and all this stuff. And getting 20 people into – it wasn't actually 20. It was like, you know, 12 or whatever. But getting that many people into cabs to go to the same location that is not nearby, it was just a pain in the ass. I tried my hardest and could not get them.
If you had brought 20 people to that house that already had 50 people in it, holy shit. Oh, it probably would have been a good thing you didn't.
Yeah, that's fair. But instead, we literally did a crawl where we stopped at every single place that served alcohol, and then we credit card gamed. I think there was 12 of us, actually, because we credit card gamed every single time, and the loser got to choose the drink and then had to buy that for everybody.
Oh, that's nice.
And
oh,
so we did that for like six or seven places, and then we ended up two people like split off, and like there was clubs of women and
things. And then you were drinking Voodoo Donuts.
No, we actually were located right next to the Voodoo Donuts for a large portion of the time, and every time we would step outside, it'd be like, hey, let's go to the Voodoo Donuts. Like, no, we just couldn't bring ourselves to do it.
And you have like 5 million people there?
I bought Voodoo Donuts while I was there, and I never even got to taste them. I was rather upset.
There's a Voodoo Donuts in Denver, so they just opened here about like 6 months ago, so it's not as novel for me.
Oh, really?
Right.
I thought they were only in Portland.
Nope, they expanded to Denver, which is probably the next most Portland-like city, only without as many weirdos. and so we exist, and we have Voodoo Donuts, and we are a safe, nice community with a lot of marijuana and donuts. You should come visit us, Colorado. Also, Governor, I'll take my check now. Thank you.
.com.
Is there a GP? Let's do this.
There is a GP.
Is there? Sure.
Yeah. Oh.
There you go. Hometown GP, you better crush that shit, man.
We kept talking about, like, you know, we should find a central location, like, that people can get to. And, like, I don't know, as far as, like, living in California, like, Denver's, like, further east than central as far as I'm concerned. Like, Las Vegas is Central America and or Central U.S.
Central America?
Wow. Also, when you come here, you will have a gracious host. I actually don't even know where I'll be living then because my lease is up in December.
Wouldn't say that. Like, you haven't listened to the podcast. You didn't see the house at Portland. I wouldn't even say anything about having a gracious host.
I'm responsible.
It's like, you will have a gracious host, my neighbor, this guy that I don't like very much.
Me and Marcel would cook for you.
Denver is very kind to its homeless individuals. It's one of the highest reported places for homeless individuals to live in the U.S.
There you go, Kevy.
So you'll be fine.
There's always a way out, bro.
We do get a little bit loud and rambunctious. I know. I'm still like looking at becoming Connolly's assistant.
Yes.
As long as he's paying. We were talking about this earlier.
Yeah. I think that's a total upgrade.
You do have to wear really low cut shirts, just so we're clear.
That's all he wears.
Okay.
Good. He already wears.
Can they also be like high cut in the belly? Like, can I do just like belly shirts that are low cut? Like think deep V, but just cut off at the navel.
We'll talk about it, but you're probably gonna have to get some tanning done first.
Oh, yeah. That's fair. I can totally agree with that because Jesus Christ, I live in fucking California and I have the worst tan ever. Like, I have to wear a shirt at work, so now I have the farmer tan from hell.
He has to wear a shirt at work. Everybody feel bad for Kevin Bettle for having to wear a shirt at work. What a poor thing.
Well, I'm telling you, I look like a Latina woman on my arms, and I look like the most terrible Swedish white person on my fucking chest.
You have those brown pussy lips. I know everyone asks this, and I know probably everyone gets sick of, like, you know, how many scumbag stories you can even tell, because
I've already told so many scumbag.
I know. I know, but like there's a quota of people out there that just like cannot get enough of scumbags.
Yeah, but we feel like people want to scumbag you all the time and we don't know why. So we're trying to figure out what it is.
Who wants to scumbag Conley?
All right. I'll tell a quick scumbag story and then I got to go.
All right. Fair enough.
That's fair.
All right. It's the TCG player 75K. Do you guys remember this? Todd Anderson ended up beating...
I don't remember what I did yesterday.
Oh, actually, I do. I think
Tim
I do.
Tim Landale in the finals, and it was like 20K to first, 10K to second, and it was like 75K, and there was like 250 people in the tournament. So it was like great EV. Like, we could have... I don't remember exactly how many people were in the tournament, but I think we could have all dropped starting around one and walked out with like $600 or something like that.
Oh, my God.
If we'd all agreed to a price split. But so anyway, we play this tournament out. I'm doing pretty well through part of it. I'm playing Callblade with like Mirren Crusaders and stuff, like basically creatures in the main deck. I get to my final round and I get paired up to a guy who has a draw versus my loss. And it turns out that even if I win, I'm probably getting like 10th place or something, not making top 8, where he will likely make top 8. So I basically tell him I'll scoop to him without him even really asking. And, you know, we have a discussion. He's like, yeah, dude, you're so cool. I'm so happy about this. Thanks, man. I'll hit you up. GP Philly, I wanted to say, was coming up. And he was like, yeah, man, I live in that area, and I'll definitely, you know, everything will be cool. And so I scooped to him. He doesn't top 8. He ends up getting like 9th or 10th, I think. He missed out on breakers, which is fine. But, and I finished, the scoop ended up knocking me down to like 35th or something like that. So I got like min cash. And I messaged him on Facebook, found him. He even replied. I talked to him. He was like, yeah, I'll be there. Everything's fine. And then he was not at the tournament. And then with further contact from him, he just like completely ignored me. So he just like totally, totally spit in my face. And like, I don't even know why he like added, like basically I added him as a friend on Facebook. He accepted. He let me start talking to him about the stuff and then just never followed through, which is obviously.
What a fucking cunt.
Kind of annoying. So it was like,
not cool.
That was like that was the time where the only time where I've like walked up to the person and said, hey, it's correct for me to scoop to you because like you can make top 8. I can't. This tournament's not for any pro points of any kind. It's only for money. So therefore money's the only thing that matters. So like, let's try to get you in top 8. Like I was trying to be like all forward and like explain everything to him. And he was like super happy about it at the time too. And
yeah. Hey, thanks for the money, pal.
No, he was like, he was like genuinely happy that like I had like figured everything out for him and the math and tiebreakers and stuff. And then he just didn't feel like reciprocating that.
That's what happens when
you know what? You know what? A guy like that, I bet I know exactly where that fucking guy lives. I know where a scumbag piece of shit like that would live. Where you know?
Like Denver, well, right?
I don't know if it's Denver. It's probably a little more south. Conley, where did he say he lived again?
He said he lived in Philly area.
Oh.
That's where the GP was in Pittsburgh, and he lived in somewhere in that area to the point where he was driving to Pittsburgh. So he might have just lived on the East Coast somewhere. I don't know where.
So, like, I should close this out by being like, go fuck yourself, East Coast somewhere!
Just pick a random city. Boston.
Random city on the East Coast. Fuck yourself, Boston.
No one's ever pissed off a Bostonian and been negative consequences. It's fine. You could piss them off all day. It's
cool. They're massholes.
Is Bostonian the word for somebody who lives in Boston?
No, they're massholes.
Massholes. Okay, sorry.
Yeah, actually, there were several slang words that you can call them, but they get very upset if you insult their hockey.
Yeah, the one I think the most insulting thing you can call them is a Canuck. Is that correct?
No, the most insulting thing
is it? Is that insulting?
I was making fun of.
Oh, Canucks. It's fine. We're an easy target.
Dr. Jeeves is the most insulting thing you can call people.
That is true.
Just New England in general.
For any human being, just that's insulting. Hey, man, trigger warning.
Trigger
warning. It's a trigger word. All right, Conley, well, thanks for coming on, man. I totally appreciate you jumping on and helping us out, man.
Not a problem.
Thanks for answering the bad signal.
You got access to me before my own podcast did, because I haven't done one of those in like 4 weeks. So
wow, snap. Yeah, see, like that's how it goes.
Exclusive.
I love this guy. You tell us what we need to do to get you an assistant, and we will make that happen.
Yeah. All right, but it all has to be off air.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm just kidding.
No, we can totally like do this off air, man. If you need this like secret underground, we'll kidnap someone and set him up there. You just keep him in your apartment. No one will know.
Just DM us. It'll be fine.
As long as you give him a litter box and some Kraken to drink during the day, I'm sure he'll be fine.
Yeah.
All right, buddy.
All right, have a good night, guys.
You too.
Take care, brother.
Well, another episode.
We have another one in the bag.
I know.
It's like I've been doing this for like, 91, 92 episodes, something like that.
Now, this is like a really deep, we're so deep in the fucking hole, I don't even know how deep we are. But I did want to, before we close this episode, talk about one thing, and that is Ginger Italian. Now, I know a lot of people are like, get that fucker on, but he cannot be on today. Is this correct?
He can be.
Is he? I don't see him on Skype. So Ginger, we just wanted to like talk to you, but next week?
No, that's what I told him. I was like, he's all right. Hey, man, fucking, he's all, I could be on by like 8 o'clock heavy time, and that's like 20 minutes ago. But I was like, either we could try to get you in tonight, or we could actually plan on having you on next week so that we can talk a bit. instead of being like, oh, sweet, we're having a free-for-all. And like have, oh, look at that. Literally, as I said that, Mike Marcella just popped up online. You want to call him?
Yeah, is he on? I don't see him.
What is up, Mike? How you doing?
What's up, fuckers?
Yeah, that's our boy.
The SVU greeting around the world. What's up, fuckers? What's up, man? How you been?
I've been good.
Nice.
So,
taking care of my kids.
Exactly. I was going to say, so how you been, what you been up to, but that's pretty much it, taking care of your kids.
It's a full-time
job. How is
that
going?
Indeed. Doing good, having our ups and downs, but we're surviving.
So what's going on? Like, we wanted to talk about, like, Robot Large asked, where are we at, and what can the community do, and how are we helping out, man?
Yeah, as you guys have known, my son Grayson, he's about to turn 3. He's autistic, but he's also nonverbal. He only says like 2 words.
Right.
My 11-month-old says more than he does.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've asked the community to pretty much help us get some equipment for him to help him learn sign language and help him pretty much cope with the world and help him be the best he can be.
That's good. Where are we at with that?
We're at 675. We just need 325 more, and we're there. It's what we need.
All right, everybody. $375 bucks is nothing.
We
should be able to easily get there. So, huge shout out for anyone who can help out on that. Where do we go to do this,
where
man?
Do we go?
Yeah.
It's a GoFundMe, but it has like a weird URL. I'm sure you guys can post it in the show notes.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're asking us to do show note duty? Oh, boy.
Yes, yes.
This is the spontaneous cast, Mike. This is where we just spontaneously did everything. So, I'm sure we can make that happen. In fact, yeah, I can't leave Carrie down a note because he doesn't listen this far. I will find a way to remember this. Tweet me. Tweet me in the morning. And I will get that in there, man. Yeah, 375, we should be able to get that for you, buddy.
There is no reason we should not be able to finish this up.
Yeah. There's no deadline on it, is there?
No. He ages out pretty soon of his current therapy, so within the month, pretty much.
Should be easy.
No, that's why, and yet, like, so what is, like, for those that, like, don't have much of a clue of what's going on, like, you know, like, some of our listeners are basic, just random listeners that will come in and listen to what's going on. Some of them are more in tune with the community. Is like, you know, like you are, you know, you're on Twitter. You know, you listen to what we do. You interact with us on Twitter. Of course, you've been busy lately. You haven't got a chance to, and I totally understand that. But like, let's let everybody know like what's going on. Like, what is the deal? Like, what is the situation we're dealing with, like with your son?
He pretty much, he can't really communicate with the world. Everyone has a problem understanding him. No one wants to like babysit him. So me and my wife can't go out cause they just can't deal with him. So with pretty much teaching him sign language can really help out. Right now he's picked up a few words, but it's kind of expensive getting all that stupid like equipment, you know, but I would like to help him.
Oh, absolutely.
100%.
And we all would like to help him. So it's imperative, you guys. You know, hey, if we can get Boosh to Portland, we can get this handled. We can get this equipment.
Hey, man, just look at Kevy. He can barely say a couple words, and he does just fine in the world. Just kidding.
I'm still here, I swear to God.
At least on this episode, there was barely... We had Conley Woods on, so... It was me and Conley show.
That's
with Kevin
why I
going,
stopped
yep.
talking.
Yep. I agree with that. That's a good idea.
Yep. I agree with that. That's a good idea.
Kevin, what do you think? And I was like, play the Jeopardy music. Actually, I got to...
Nope, I'm not going to do it.
I'm not going to do it. You talk. Oh, that's good, man. Well, we'll definitely get the word out, man. See what we
Mike,
can do.
Thank you for coming on. I really appreciate it. And like, it's honestly, you guys in the SVU, this shit is imperative. It's shit we got to take care of.
You know what? If we can't take care of our own, what the fuck are we doing?
100% agreed.
And if you want anything, Mike, because you can't get out, you let us know, man. We'll the SVU around the world. You need stuff. We can collect it for you. Send it back for you.
Hell yeah! Thank you.
Get you on
Mike,
Magic Online.
Mike, do you have? I was gonna say, Mike, do you have any ability to play Magic anymore? Really? Like I don't
play online anymore. I've been trying to hook up with paper, but my job has me like away from the shop, so I can't. Pretty much just my son, just the oldest. He's trying to pick up Magic, but he'd rather play Kajudo. So.
Oh no, I get that.
Hey, it was good, man.
Robot Large can hook you up there.
Yeah, how much could you do? Dump trucks full?
Yeah, him and I are in talk, so.
Nice, nice. All right, buddy, well, we're going to do our best. We're going to get the word going.
It was great to fucking hear from you. It's great to hear what's going on. Well, not great to hear what's going on. Obviously, the situation sucks, but, like, I, you know what I mean. Like, it's great.
It's all good.
We haven't heard from you in a long time. I honestly thought you died. I thought you disappeared. And Mike's just like, no, I'm not kidding. I was just thought, what the fuck happened to Mike? I was just like not want anything to do with the SVU anymore. And then I was like, oh, I started like looking into it and I was like, oh wait, Mike is being a grown up now.
He's got light.
Yeah. So, man, it's really good to hear from you. Like, you know what? Fucking love you to death. You've always been one of our biggest fucking supporters, and it's good to hear from you again.
Good. Thanks for having me. It's my first time on, so.
I know.
You were on before. I think you were on in the...
That was a sign-off. That sucked. I was on any other episode.
Well, if you want to sign off
again. Hey, I was gonna say.
They yell at me again?
Mike! Give us in your biggest, now that you've become a grown up, yeah. Give us in your biggest grown up voice the best sign off you can possibly get for this one.
How I yell at people?
Yes. Get all your frustration out.
It's coming from the guts.
Right. Yo, I actually have to be quiet because fucking my children are asleep. I'm a grown up.
Yeah.
No, they're in the other room. I kicked them out, so.
Daddy's yelling at the screen again.
Daddy's yelling. At least he's not yelling at mommy. He's just yelling at the computer again.
All right.
We got Mike. Let's do this.
Go fuck yourself, San Diego.
All right. Well. And as spontaneous continues, we have
another guest.
We do. There was one thing that I was gonna mention, but Jesus Christ, it's like 3 hours into the show now. But I didn't forget. So Stephen Raffel has Magic the Gathering morph sleeves. Have you seen those?
Yes, those are fucking awesome.
They are nuts. So he's got a Kickstarter. So anyone that's like the faithful SVU listening this far. So I'm definitely backing this because I need to get these.
Absolutely.
So he's got morph card sleeves. So this is like going to be so amazing in new standard, as you can just flip your cards and it's got the 2/2 on the back. Sounds amazing. For $7, you get a pack. So check that out, everybody. Just Google like Magic the Gathering morph sleeves on Kickstarter and boom, you got it. But we have 6 days to go. Actually, you're going to hear this, and it's going to be 4 days to go.
4 days to go.
Yeah. Yeah. We got to get $5,000, and we're at $500.
Oh, so, Jesus.
You know, we're a little far behind, but I mean, dude, like, this is awesome. So I'm hoping we can
get
there.
Those things are fucking sweet. That little morph creature is cute as shit. Like, dude, I love that little fucking thing. Dude, it's like a spider with no head. It's fucking awesome.
And I mean, how many times do you buy sleeves at a GP for like $10, $7? So like, I'm just ordering. I'm gonna definitely order these because I plan on playing with these. I think they're badass. So shout out Stephen Raffel.
Idea, like it literally is like a morph token, like a 2/2 morph
for the sleeve. It's so cool.
For the sleeve, it's fucking amazing. Go to his fucking Kickstarter. It's great.
Yeah. Check it out, guys. So that and that are done. I believe our checklist for the week is checked.
Big shout out to fucking Matt Mendoza for
yes.
arrested last night in fucking Ferguson.
Yeah, that's insane. Huge fucking shout out for that.
I don't want to get all fucking political on this fucking cast or anything like that, because you know that's the last thing I'm going to do, but fucking a huge shout out for fucking Matt Mendoza, because he just decided, you know what, I'm done with this. I'm sick of sitting home and watching fucking TV. And he went down, he was a part of it. And then he got arrested for it. And love you, dude. I'm glad you're okay. Everything's fucking great. Oh, there's also fucking Billy Moreno. Like, I guess that shit's going around Twitter now, too. Like, one of the big fucking pictures, like, that came out of Ferguson is fucking Billy Moreno, fucking the dude that, like, one of the lead designers on M15 is, like, face down under a cop's knee. And, hey, big shout out to you guys for fucking standing up for what you believe in. And you know what? Going down, being a part of the protest, like, hey, like I have the ultimate respect for you. That's awesome. Yep.
And the guy, huge shout out to the guy who was eating a bag of chips that picked up a tear gas canister and threw it back. Like,
just threw it back.
Because you have the biggest balls ever. Like, that's nuts. So yes, huge shout out.
That was fucking amazing.
And if you can believe this, like, man, we are failing large at our, man, shout outs at the end of this triple-ended cast. But I can't believe we forgot. Off the top of the cast, I did want to also say face-to-face to Games Toronto.
Dude, they're playing tonight.
Their store looks absurd. These guys.
I saw it through pictures because, like, Canada.
Yeah, Kelly and Anthony just, like, crushed it. It looks amazing there. You know, Sal's like, just helping them out. Like, everyone is, like, just kicking ass over there. So, huge thing. They're doing really good numbers for their modern tournament on a Wednesday. 51 players. Wow, that's crazy. So
that's insane.
Good luck, guys. I definitely want to go down and play. Definitely going to bring the kids.
You're going to have to just cast live from there one night on a Wednesday night.
Well, they say that it's possible. I wonder if it would be too loud. Maybe. If we can get good mic shielding, I would absolutely do it.
Or you could just have them close the store on Wednesday night and, pretend you're playing Magic, but just get drunk with fucking Kelly and Tony. I mean, that's a good idea.
Yeah, we could do a live thing.
We're live from face-to-face Toronto! I mean, like, you know, by live, I mean, like, we kicked everybody out of the store and we're drinking, and it's just the three of us sitting in front of my laptop. But!
Yeah, I mean, we could totally do that. We're gonna make it happen. But anyways, so coming up in the coming weeks, I just wanted everyone to know. So, of course, you know, I'm kind of cube struck right now. I'm gonna probably talk about that. Yeah, I'm cube.
Like a Latina woman.
Oh, I love the cubes, brown pussy lips.
Brown pussy lips of the cube.
Yes. It is awesome. I'm learning a ton, and I wanted to do a whole episode devoted to, like, how I'm, like, my point of view, and then some pros' points of view, and people who are masters at that shit. So that's coming up. This should be a good show.
This is coming. I hope you motherfuckers.
In the future.
As much as we do, because it's silly. Like, it's like, Cube is just fucking awesome, and you can't ever go back.
No, that's, I'll save those tales for another episode.
No, I'm just saying, you can't ever go back. It's one of those things that, like, once you get involved in a cube, you're, like, you're stuck there forever. It's just, like, this format is amazing. Like, why would I ever play any other Magic? And then occasionally you'll say, hey, you know what? I've been playing Cube a lot lately. I'm going to get my modern deck put back together. And you're like, well, I mean, why? I could just play Cube instead. So
playing modern is like it's like lifting up her fat pussy gunt and seeing brown pussy lips. So.
And your Ford Focus seats are not covered by warranty.
I sounded like Morgan Freeman the whole time.
The whole time.
The whole time. Hey, young world.
Oh, God damn it. Why?
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 It may cause concern, it's boring. Why don't you listen and learn?
Love takes happiness.
That once was strong,
but you to society.
Even that's turned wrong.
Times have changed.
A is cool to look bummy and be a dumb dummy and disrespect your mommy.
Have you forgotten?
Who put you on this earth, huh?
Who put you out proud?
And who loved you since your birth? Reward is a brainwashed kid going wild. Young little girls already have a child.
Back on me.